And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
Ahoy.
Matey.
Matey.
You like Chips Ahoy?
Yeah, that's okay.
Best mass-produced
No, Oreo.
Best mass-produced. I should rephrase. Best mass-produced
chocolate chip cookie.
I'm trying to think of what the other options are.
You know the grandma brand,
the big ones.
Yeah. They make a pretty good chocolate chip cookie.
I agree, and they're probably better. I actually don't really Chips Ahoy.
You give me some milk, or you put it in coffee. I think it's good.
It's okay.
I didn't make you coffee. Did you need coffee? No.
All right, then I don't need coffee.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
All right.
So my take on Chips Ahoy, I think they're super mid. I can't even remember the last time I had one.
Yeah.
But like, why would you not just eat an Oreo is my question, right?
So there are times. I'll give you a for instance.
Sure. Is this like a bullshit Eggo waffle for instance?
No. So like, okay. Let's say I have a friend named Schmeiler, and he goes to Sheetz because he's a fat ass, but also lazy. But the fat ass is like taking over up to a certain laziness factor. So Sheetz is as far as he'll go for like a snack.
Okay, so I gotta stop you here.
Yeah, okay.
So if you're talking about like a fatness rating,
yeah,
versus laziness rating,
uh-huh.
Do we think that if one category rises to a certain level, it actually inhibits the other category, right? Because if you're uber lazy,
absolutely, yeah,
like you said, you're not going to travel anywhere to eat anything,
yeah,
which probably in my mind would help you out.
It would if you didn't have a Sheetz 5 minutes in either direction.
That's fair.
Whenever you leave your parking lot,
I think they do that on purpose,
probably
because of the conversation we're having. But what about the Z factor? Because we have the X and Y axis, but the Z axis...
Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I don't do Uber Eats.
Yep, exactly. This is what I was thinking. So like you could have a big X, which is laziness.
Yep.
Which inhibits your Y, fatness.
Mm-hmm.
But if money's not an issue, then Uber Eats destroys that argument.
Money is usually an issue. And really it comes down to like, I don't want to pay $60 for like a DiBella's sandwich.
It's a video game.
From Uber Eats. Exactly.
Yeah.
So then it's like, well, I'll go out and get it because I'm above Uber Eats, but I'm not so far above Uber Eats that I'm going to go past the 5 minutes to Sheetz. Like Sheetz is like the set thing.
So it's like a very balanced.
Yeah.
As all things should be.
As all things should be. So anyway, you go to Sheetz.
Yeah.
And Schmeiler's looking around and he sees a pack of Oreos and he sees a pack of Chips Ahoy.
Okay.
The problem is, the Oreos, you have two options. You have a small single sleeve of regular Oreos.
Right.
Or you have the family pack that's double stuffed. Now, Schmeiler doesn't like double stuffed.
Wow.
It's the improper ratio.
I actually agree with Schmeiler on this.
Yeah.
And he seems like a pretty intelligent and chipper guy.
He seems pretty good. Yeah.
So that's a different argument for a different day. But I actually believe that the original Oreo is the superior version.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect.
I would think that my friend and you would get along. But anyway, all that being said, there are sometimes, now 9 times out of 10, you grab the Oreo. Even if it's double stuff, still the way to go.
Right.
But there are those occasions when it's like, that's a little too sweet for me. I'm going to go with the other
chocolate cookie. I thought you were saying it's the volume.
Oh, no. The volume, it's a pack versus a pack.
Oh.
I'm not going to do the single sleeve.
Right.
That's silly because it's just the... And then you go back to the money issue of if you buy... How many sleeves are in a family pack? Like 4 or 5?
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Is a family pack bigger than the standard thing?
A little bit. Yeah. It's like an extra sleeve
or something.
Yeah.
So probably 4.5, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. That would be the occasion when I think Chips Ahoy would beat out an Oreo.
It's too sweet.
In very... specific
occasions. What were we talking about the other day where I was making fun of you because you always say this thing where like things are too sweet for you?
Yeah.
Oh, cereal. You're like, oh yeah, Lucky Charms,
yeah,
man.
Lucky
just
Charms.
Give me the marshmallows.
Yeah.
You know, that's just straight sugar.
Well, so the funny thing is Lucky Charms, like I actually prefer like the lucky bit. Like I don't like the charms as much.
Lucky.
Like the, yeah, well, I don't
so
know.
Like categorized.
I like the cereal part.
Yeah.
And then I just like a little bit of marshmallow. Like I don't like, I wouldn't be like, oh, I want a bowl of marshmallows.
Isn't the cereal part like just alphabet grams or something?
Yeah.
So you just eat, you just crush.
Some alphabets, or whatever they are.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. With the frog? Is that the one?
No, those are Apple Jacks.
Apple Jacks?
Yeah, I think so. With the frog?
No, Apple Jacks is the cinnamon stick guy.
That's Golden Grahams.
What are you talking? No, you're trolling now. You're absolutely trolling.
Am I?
Yes. No. Golden Grahams.
Yeah, Golden Grahams.
Why would there be a cinnamon stick on Golden Grahams?
Golden Grahams. Hold on, I'm looking it up.
Cheeseburger? You're 1,000% wrong on this.
Hold on, Golden Grahams.
Golden Grahams does not have a Jamaican cinnamon stick as their mascot.
Jamaican cinnamon stick?
Yes, dude. Don't you remember this? It was him.
I'm talking about a bear. Like a weird looking bear.
I said a cinnamon stick. He's literally the character is a cinnamon stick. You don't remember this advertising?
No.
You're in marketing. This is one of the best ad campaigns ever. It was like a cinnamon stick Jamaican guy, I think. Unless, like, I was a kid, dude. I could be totally wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
We talked about this. The chocolate
and
chip
then
cookie thing.
There was an apple. I think the apple was like mean or something. And then the cinnamon stick was just vibing. And that was like the premise of all the commercials.
And that's Apple Jacks?
Yeah, that's Apple Jacks. Yes. Like, what are you talking about?
Before we look this up, the problem is,
all right,
we're both probably right. Because when you think about it, it's like in my era, which I think we talked about this before.
I didn't even think they had cereal in your era.
But it was all Apple Jacks and Golden Grahams.
Apple Jacks are like not bland, though.
Apple Jack. Hold
dude,
on. Apple Jacks mascot. We're going to bring this up.
Yeah.
I've never seen this guy before.
Didn't he come up first?
Yeah.
Yes, and the apple. Yeah. And the apple. And look, look at the cereal, dude. It's flavored. It's not just a bland cereal.
What?
What are you smoking, Tyler? Golden Grahams is like the opposite end of the spectrum.
Hold on.
Is your mind blown yet?
Yeah.
Is your mind blown?
Well, that's like when you were telling me that... No, it's always been an apple guy. What am I thinking of?
Did we have this? I'm having crazy deja vu on this.
We've definitely talked about this. Frog mascot for cereal. Because we talked about how in my era... Oh, Honey Smacks. That's what I'm thinking
Smacks.
Of. You're right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But and it wasn't Golden Grahams. I'm sorry. It was Golden Crisp that I was thinking of with the bear. Those are those two that I was thinking of.
Okay, you really...
I was off on the
We
names.
Need to go back to our cereal episode. I think we had this exact conversation.
But that was like 50 episodes ago.
I think we had this exact conversation.
Yeah, but in the Cookie Crisp...
Yeah.
My guys
Cookie
were...
Cookie Crisp. Yeah, that's the wolf.
My guys were robbers.
Oh, that's right.
It was like
dog
robbers.
Yes.
And you were a wolf.
I lost a cheeseburger on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
We're back.
Also, Cookie Crisp, terrible cereal.
Yes.
Like, not even like bad. Like, it is bad for you, but it's not, it doesn't even taste good.
It's like artificial cookies. It's like, hey, if we took cancer and put it in a cookie form.
Yeah.
And then threw it in milk.
And didn't even season it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Seasoned it with
tears.
Something. I don't know.
So, I think at that point you just make like mini Oreos, and that's your cereal.
I'm surprised they had to have done that, right?
No, but I mean like an Oreo.
Yeah,
shrink it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They had to have done that.
I don't think so. They did the Cheerios, but they're Oreo flavored. They did that.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
And I feel like you could only get that from Japan. I might be totally pulling that out of my bum. But
no, I think you get it around here.
Something. It was discontinued or something.
Yeah, it probably wasn't good.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, why don't we just make a small Oreo?
Why don't you just eat Oreos and dunk them in milk? And that's your cereal for the day.
Because you have to trick the parents. You have to trick the parents.
Fair.
So it has to be made by Kellogg's or whatever. Right?
Yeah, it has to say heart healthy
and then
on it.
Instantly, it's going to be good for you.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Vegan.
My summary, the summation of my thought here. Chips Ahoy, not good.
Okay.
And get the Oreos instead. Now, what was interesting about your spiel there is I thought you were going in a different direction with the volume. And I run into this issue, and I'm curious if Schmeiler has a similar issue
with
chips. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I fall in between sizes. So you have like the family bag, mm-hmm. which is too much for one person.
It's actually too much for Schmiler too.
Right.
Depending on the chip, 9 times out of 10 is too much.
It's crazy. Yep. But then like the individual bags are A, super cost inefficient, mm-hmm. but B, not enough. So like you run into a big problem there. So it's like you could get multiple small bags, but that's, again, you're just throwing money away. And then you could say, oh, John, just get the big bag and then eat half and half or something.
Yeah.
But I want the freshness. I want that open the bag.
Finish the bag. Yeah.
So I actually found that the barbecue honey twists, Frito kind of things. I don't know if it's okay. Fritos, but someone knows what I'm talking about. The honey barbecue twists, that's like the perfect bag. It's like a big bag, but it's not a family size. It's like in between.
So what Schmiler would do? Okay, here's a peek behind the curtain because I know you like that. Schmiler's me.
No.
I don't know if you caught that.
I know Schmiler.
Yeah.
I know him though.
But he is me.
Dude, I went to his wedding. It can't be you.
He's me.
All right, I got to process
All
that.
Right. So what I would do is I would go to Sam's Club and I would get the giant box of individual bags because then you get that variety and you get the freshness. So it's like if you want like a hard-hitting flavor, you get barbecue and like too much barbecue, like that salt can really get to you. Right, like if it's too big,
right.
But then you have the Doritos in there, you have the Cheetos in there, you have the Fritos in there.
What's your favorite one? Because there's a couple different versions, I think.
So they have the Cool Ranch, the chili Doritos.
Yeah,
they have the barbecue.
Chili Doritos.
Yeah, the purple bag.
Oh yeah,
so blue bag, purple bag for Doritos. They have
really. Yeah. I thought it was purple, dark red bag, spicy nacho. That's what I thought it was. I could be wrong.
No, because they had Fritos in there. They had Cheetos in there. Because I found out that I actually really, really like Cheetos.
Cheetos are great.
But the regular ones, not the Flaming Hot or anything, just like plain Cheetos.
No, I love, but I also like the Flaming Hot.
But they also had, vinegar and I don't know, like
really?
Lays and barbecue. It was a crazy thing, but I remember it because it was like, hey, these are actually all good. And I was like very happy with the selection.
The one I was used to is I thought it was purple Doritos, dark red Doritos, which is the spicy nacho, Flaming Hot, sour cream and onion Lays.
Yeah.
Like the green bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like a barbecue Fritos or something.
Yeah, but see what we just said? Because my Fritos were regular. So it's like, what? Or no, I'm sorry. It was not regular Fritos. It was chili Fritos.
Chili Fritos. Yeah. Chili Fritos.
Yeah.
Because I remember we got like one of those for Halloween or something. And then the chili Fritos were around forever. Like nobody was touching those.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the weak one. But
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll grab it next time we're there. I don't know.
Maybe they switched it up, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Although I will say since we went to, this is kind of a transition, but it's still within the whole realm of don't eat garbage. So we went to Beer Fest on Saturday.
Yeah.
Never been to one of those before. That's wild. That's $60 for
unlimited beer. Yeah. I went
like
last year.
200 vendors of, that's crazy.
It gets wild, too.
There, I wrote down all the beers I liked. Would you like the list?
Sure. My favorite one when I went last year was like, they advertised it as the oldest Hefeweizen in the country or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but it was very good.
Well, I like four of them.
That's it?
They were all, dude, I was drinking, like, they were all fine. They were good.
Yeah.
There were four that I was like, I need to find these.
Okay.
I don't like Fathead. But I do like Fathead Foggy Goggle, which is
Hefeweizen. Yeah, that one's
that is
great.
My top one.
That one's great.
There's also Weekend Steppinger Hefeweizen.
Yeah, no, like, probably the one I was talking about.
Probably. That one's really good.
Actually, maybe. Maybe it is. I don't know.
There's a Sly Fox Royal.
What
Royal,
is that one?
Royal Hefeweizen. It's a Weizen.
I remember Sly Fox. Yeah. I can't remember that one.
I don't know. Sly Fox Royal. And then there's Cape May White.
What's that?
Hefeweizen. They're all Hefeweizens.
Interesting.
That's all I like. Like,
okay.
We tried everything. Like, well, I shouldn't say everything, but like Mike was trying a whole bunch of stuff. There was a ton of stuff. Like Chelsea was doing all of the ciders with like John and stuff. So like,
yeah,
everyone had a good time. Like, it was good. And then there was like Miranda was just kind of like the middle, just getting everything. She was the middle ground. But
sure.
Yeah, what a great deal, man.
No, like, it's, you just want to give awesome. Me a
hammer. Now, the problem is I was getting over my sickness then. And it was like, okay, I finally turned the corner. I was really bad Thursday. I was better Friday. And then Saturday, I was like, I feel great. And then we just drank out in the rain all day.
Yeah, that might absolutely annihilate your
Sunday
immune system.
Sunday was not fun. But after Saturday, Sunday, I was like, I have to be in a wedding. Well, I have to be in there. I'm going to a wedding in 2 months. And I'm like, I need to get serious. So I've been doing 1,200 calories for...
Training arc has started?
This is, I mean, yeah.
Nice.
Like, I haven't... It's been a week now. I've hit it every single time, so...
It's beautiful.
It's not bad, yeah.
Yeah, I need to get back to serious.
I'm just doing oatmeal, salmon, rice, broccoli.
Love it.
That's it.
Love that for you. Yeah, I'm glad you had a good time at Beer Fest.
Yeah,
I had fun when I went. They still had, like, the food trucks and stuff.
Oh, yeah, but yeah. We went... So, mistakes were made, I think. But we went to some place beforehand. I forget the name of it. It was decent. But we ate first, then went... There.
Huge mistake.
Yeah. We thought there were gonna be like big lines and everything else. Like, there were no lines. It was totally fine. We got the early pass. So, like, we were there like an hour before everyone else.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you stay the whole time?
I mean, we stayed till, yeah, like,
so close.
Final call. Like, we left before it was like kicking you out.
Yeah.
And then
we
got out pretty safely.
But. Okay. Wow.
It's good.
That's a long time to be there.
Well, it gets worse.
All right, here we go.
Here's another transition for you, which I wasn't expecting you to do. We walked from the casino to the...
Oh, John told me. Yeah, I got a text from John.
The casino. Played some Ultimate. Mike was having a good time with Ultimate. John did not have a good time with Ultimate.
I guarantee John's playing it wrong. He tells me plays maybe. The strategy, but I think he's not... Which is not to say, like, you can still get hammered in that game.
Sure.
Playing the basic strategy, because, you know, obviously the house still has an edge.
Yeah.
Still get unlucky.
Ultimate Hold'em. I don't know if I said Hold'em.
Ultimate Texas Hold'em, yeah. It's like Texas Hold'em. Essentially, you're playing against the dealer. It's a pretty cool game. Sorry, did you have another point?
No, Mike was having a good time. John was like, screw this. He went over to the craps table.
Jesus Christ.
He taught me how to play craps.
Yeah,
I can play craps now.
Like, actually?
I feel confident that I can put money in and know... roughly what I'm doing. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the mistake that John makes, and I'm calling him out here.
Wow.
And I'm sorry,
buddy.
Can I
just say that John had the longest roll time? Like,
oh,
I mean,
did he?
Yeah.
That's well, he was super pissed. So he texted me, and he was like, "Well, first of all, Schmeiler texted me first. Okay.
I did
when the night was young. No, Schmeiler.
Oh, okay.
This is how I know you're two different people.
Oh,
because
right,
you would
right.
never do this.
That's true.
Schmeiler said, "I love you, John." I was
yeah.
like, "Oh man, Schmeiler, that's so like, thanks, Schmeiler."
Yeah.
My podcast host. Buddy,
never,
co-host
doesn't
never
doesn't
would say that
crap,
he's never
yeah.
affectionate, right?
So when I was around Schmeiler, whenever he was doing that,
sure,
and I was feeling real good because like we had like 15 drinks within 20 minutes or something. It was insane,
yeah.
And like these are like 6 ounce drinks, like they're not like
no.
just nothing.
And, did you keep the little mug?
Chelsea did. Yeah, I threw mine out.
Oh,
I just want to carry it, but then Chelsea put it in my cargo shorts. So I was just walking around with a. Crusty
so,
mug, my
so
anyway.
We're
kind of, yeah, I guess kind of. But I was like, you know, every time John drinks, he always texts me that he loves me. I'm like, I need to return this.
Oh, it was this. Completely transactional.
No, it wasn't transactional. It was just it like, was. I mean, think about it this way.
I owe this guy.
I felt a certain way, and I was like, I need to text John.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah,
I'm glad you thought
okay.
of me. Well. The other time that happened was when you guys were in. Were you at Hopper House?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, because this is when you fell off the wagon. You're doing really good with your diet, and
oh,
then you just
yeah.
crushed yourself.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
went to Pins Mechanical, which is a really fun place.
Which is amazing, and yeah. it ruined me.
Yeah,
it
ruined you.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so heard from Schmeiler first in the night.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh, man, these guys are having a great time. Great. Then John texts me. He's like, fuck Rivers. And I'm like, oh, no, here we go. So, like, when you're a gambler and someone says, fuck X Casino, there's a big... message coming.
Yeah.
It's a big boy coming. So we call it in the industry. So anyways, he's telling me about Ultimate Texas Hold'em. He's like, this game sucks, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, yeah, he was pretty much telling you what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Went to craps. And then he taught you, which I was like, that's awesome. But here's the point. When you're playing Ultimate Texas Hold'em or craps, These are games that are very volatile,
mm-hmm.
which means that you need to have a big stack, deep pockets, to be able to play that to be safe. I mean, you can play it with like $100.
Yeah.
But the percentage that you're going to go bust is extremely high. So you got to pad that. Like if you're playing something like blackjack, blackjack's an extremely low volatility game because you're winning one and losing one unit most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's variations of that if like you double down or split, but a vast majority of the time you're winning or losing one unit. But if you notice in craps, I'm sure John had one bet out. Yep. And then he would put one bet behind that bet, maybe make another bet.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can be out there with like six units, like if you're feeling crazy.
Yeah.
It gets pretty insane. And then 1-7 comes, you're down 6 units.
Right.
Which if that's $10, which is what we usually play at, that's $60.
Yep.
If you're in for 200, you're like almost halfway.
Which is why every time I was standing next to him, I mean, we were all feeling pretty good, but it was like, okay, I'm getting this. I was asking questions. I understood it. But he was pretty positive the whole time, right? Like mm-hmm. he was just like, okay, that's all day. This doesn't matter. Like, this is cool. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I just keep seeing like his chips go
down. So that's what we refer to as copium.
But then he'll have a good like run or whatever. And yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Like, cool. And like, he stayed alive. I mean, he was doing that for well over an hour.
Yeah. I have to talk to him about it. I think what we have to do, because when I went with Devin, we were really successful when we were switching from the pass and don't pass.
He was doing that.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Okay, then he was just guessing wrong, I guess.
partly. I mean, I don't want to... I hope he wasn't doing it on my account, but he was like showing... He was like, okay, so if I do this here, here's how this works. And right. like, that was super helpful. Now, I hope that he wasn't just throwing away $10 just to show me stuff.
No, because he could have won.
Yeah, so...
Nobody knows.
It was pretty good. The only thing we didn't mess with is like the middle part of the board where it's like... I think I understood it where you can bet on it and then like if... someone rolls a snake eye, it's like, cool, it's like 35-1 or some insane thing.
Yeah, 30.
30-1, whatever. But it's like, okay. Like
the house edge and the middle bets are some of the worst in the entire casino, which is why you want to avoid it. But they're really exciting bets. So yeah. Like when you're hammered, yeah, sometimes you just throw one on there,
yeah.
Boxcars.
Well, people are rolling sevens like every other, literally every other roll.
Yeah.
And it started on the opposite end of the table and everyone was taking their turn rolling, which I didn't know that's how that worked. That was something that kind of clicked with me of like, oh, okay, it's like a turn-based thing.
Yeah.
And John's just shit-talking. This guy does not have a roll. She does not have a roll.
Yeah.
He does not have a roll. And it was hilarious. It got all the way to where he's like, now me, I trust myself. I'm good. He rolls twice. He rolls a seven. He's yeah. out. The guy next to him rolls twice. And like he was like, he rolled it like he knew what he was doing. Rolled a seven. It's like, dude, this is all just luck. Like all the 100%. Trash talking. And it's just like, now it came all the way back around and he was easily the longest of the night. So it's like, okay, well then. It was just funny.
No, John, I love John. He's like stereotypical gambler, dude, where it's like...
Well, I thought it was like an actual serious way of rolling. Like, I thought, oh, if you put your dice this way or if you throw it on this side or you have to hit... Like, I thought you had to like roll dice and the dice had to land in sections. That's what I thought craps was. So when people were talking like, wow. Oh, do you even know how to roll dice or do you know how to do this? Or can you do that? And like, oh, this is like serious. It's all luck.
Yes.
So it's like that, welcome that to opened casinos. My eyes.
Yeah. Welcome to the casinos, dude. Like, okay, I love John, but he is a stereotypical gambler in the fact that like he'll complain about how people roll dice. He'll complain about like what people do in blackjack, where from a mathematical perspective, it literally doesn't matter. Like it's all baked in.
You know
what I mean?
All that, yeah, but like all that being said, and maybe it was just like he was explaining it like in a very specific way, but like I felt very educated by the end of the night.
That's
which
awesome.
I did not expect given like we were drinking for 6 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, he did a great job for me.
Dude, I love going with John. He's a ton of fun, man.
Yeah. But it was funny because he was going all the way around. And then whenever I actually realized that it doesn't matter how you roll it, like just get it across the board.
You should watch me like, roll, dude. I roll like a drunken dolphin.
Dude, the guy next to me just was like, him. Like would throw it and like spin around or something. Like every person is doing their own like special little.
It's all, what's it called? Superstitious. Superstition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Like people set the dice.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that actually splits the gambling community. is like there's this thing called dice setting. So people claim to have an advantage in that game because they can manipulate the dice in a way that gives them a slight advantage, like by suppressing the amount of sevens they roll. I don't believe it because like the back wall has like the ridges on it.
Yeah.
So I honestly think you have to hit the back wall. Like that's a requirement.
Yeah, they weren't really.
If you are consistently not hitting the back wall, right? Like you could get good enough at throwing dice where you could like kind of slide them or, you know, kind of flop them. You know, if you do like a really high roll, you could. And I believe, yeah, you could probably get good enough to where you had left sevens.
Yeah.
Because you're like affecting the rotation, maybe not doing it as much, right? And like you're looking at the axis. So that's what they claim to do. They set it in a particular way where they keep it on the same axis. And that position of the dice, there's no combinations of sevens on that, right? It has to move to a different direction.
That's what the older guy was doing. It looked like he was keeping them together and then like slid them. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're sliding them or if you're not hitting the back wall consistently, they're going to not count it eventually. Mm-hmm. So my theory on this is like you're hitting the back wall. I think that's going to affect it in such a way where it's going to be a random result. I don't think that anyone can do it consistently. Yeah. Like you'd have to be so insanely good. Maybe someone is. I don't believe it though.
It sure didn't seem like that way that night.
I guarantee nobody there is.
Yeah.
Like if someone is that good to actually gain.
It's like one guy somewhere in
Korea. It is a handful of guys, and you have to consider that it has to be consistent too.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to have a consistent advantage because if you have a couple bad nights, the house is going to gain the advantage again on you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, oh man, I could talk about this forever, but it just makes me so mad because people who claim to be able to do that also make just horrific bets.
Yeah.
Like just super high house edge bets. And I'm like, you're throwing away EV at this point.
But you're chasing the high of like hitting.
No, they're
like,
saying that they're professionals though.
Yeah.
Like if you're just doing it for fun, yeah, fuck, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
It's entertainment. But if you're saying, oh no, I'm a pro at this.
Yeah.
You're an idiot because obviously you're not even making the highest expected value bets on the board.
Yep.
All right. Rant over.
I mean, maybe it's just because he got the bad luck too, but he was like explaining like, well, if they roll a seven before they actually get one of the like the big numbers.
Yeah.
And you're on the, was it the don't pass or you're on the passing and you get paid out. I'm like, oh, okay. So like there's a lot of like little
stage stuff one there. Sevens are good if you're on the pass, which is what people usually play. And then stage two is when you don't want it.
Shout out to the freaking people running the table. Yeah. I'm like, how do you keep track? Like people are literally just throwing chips. Like at the same time, I'm like, how could you possibly know who goes where? And like, it's nuts.
They're very good at their job, and there's a lot of terminology to learn too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they'll just throw chips at you. They'll say high low, which means snake eyes and sixes. Like, there's all this shit.
Yeah,
and it's like crazy. Yeah, I think there's a lot more training that probably goes into the game. I'd have to imagine. You'll see this, dude, where people will argue about payouts and like they'll try to get more. They'll try to like
They gave John more for no reason.
They fucked up.
That's what he said.
Yeah, they've done that to me as well. Like I always call them out on it, obviously, if it is bad for me, but
yeah,
if it's like sometimes they don't take away my bet even though I lost.
Yeah.
Those are the best.
Well, I think that's what happened to
John.
I don't know. It was fun time.
That's awesome. So now we can play craps and lose all our money.
Yeah. I would rather play Ultimate Hold'em.
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's more fun?
I put 200 in, got 400 out.
Oh, that night you were up?
No, that was the last time we went.
Oh, so you didn't play when you went last week?
No, I was like, I don't want to lose money.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm up. So this always happens to me. Like I'm up. I was telling you about it on last week's episode. I was up like 600 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gone back because it's like, I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's 10 video games.
Speaking of video games, we have quite a bit to talk about in the video game realm.
Everything we just talked about was not on our list.
Of course. It's literally clockwork.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dave the Diver first.
Yeah.
I've actually been hearing quite a bit about this, and Tyler actually played it, so I'm curious your thoughts.
Dave the Diver And I have to be very careful with this because I think most of the awesomeness of that game is the discovery part of it, of like all the different layers in it and stuff like that. On the overall surface, you dive. Your name is Dave. You dive.
Fascinating.
You capture fish, and you go exploring this like ocean. Okay,
I'm with you.
You capture all the fish. You bring it back. You own a sushi restaurant. And so during the day, you fish. During the night, you open up your restaurant and serve people sushi to make money, to upgrade your gear, to go deeper, to get better fish, to get, you know, like it's that loop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the gameplay loop. You'll get quests. You'll meet people. They'll tell you to do different things. New gameplay mechanics, new areas, new... Every time, so like I've put about, let's call it 12 hours in this game already, and I've just unlocked three new, completely new gameplay mechanics and areas and things to do and stuff like that. So I don't know if you ever played Stardew Valley. It gave me vibes of that. It gave me vibes of, what's the like you have to like digging...
Isn't it?
It's like you're robots and you have to dig down. Crap.
I thought it was Mother
Clockwork
something.
Clockwork something. I don't know.
That was probably a Flash game. There's a lot of games though. Yeah.
But it's just like this game is better than it has any right to be. And it's so much fun. The writing's really good. It's not like overly done or anything like that. And the gameplay loop has me absolutely hooked. Where like, that's all I'm thinking about.
Still?
Yeah. It's just like, wow. You have a list of things. It's like, okay, today, because like you fish, you can dive in the morning, dive in the afternoon, and then you unlock, spoilers, but like you can unlock night diving. And essentially what happens is your night is like 3/3 or something. And if you dive at night, you lose like 1/3 of your...
Clock
of your open hours for your
right.
Sushi.
Yeah.
So you make less money, but you can get like specific fish and do specific things. So it's like
trade off.
Yeah. But like there's no real time issue with it. So like a lot of those things, like obviously you have oxygen supply, which you have to upgrade, and like you can go down and like the more oxygen you get, the longer you can stay down there and stuff. And you have to like, you can only carry so much fish, and like on the surface, it seems like, oh, this is like done before, but they make such good choices where you never feel punished. You never, it's not like an active time for like day and night, right? So it's just like, okay, you're going to dive in the morning. If you're down there for like 3 hours, like real time, that's fine. That takes as long as if you're there for 5 minutes and then come up to the surface. It's like, that's your morning dive, then your afternoon, then your night. So like, everything that they've done so far has been very, very smart, and it feels really good. And it's like you have your diving sim, your sushi restaurant sim, which you can hire people to then go out and scavenge for stuff and run your restaurant. And then you have to meet other people where you can like, there's like farming, there's like, you can like grow your own. Like, it's insane how this opens up. You get a phone, like an actual phone that has like a million apps on it. And it's like you have your Instagram things that you have to worry about. You have collector things to worry about. There's a Pokemon aspect to it where it's like, got to catch them all. And you have to get like rare fish cards by catching the fish. But you have to, if you hurt a fish and capture them, it's only a 2-star. If you kill a fish, it's a 1-star. But if you like net them and grab them, it's a 3-star. So it's like you have to like upgrade your gear and get certain things. Like you have like poison tipped arrows and sleeping arrows, and you can get like a sniper rifle if you wanted to. Like, it's insane the stuff you can do. I don't want to spoil anything, so I'm trying to be like cautious on like exactly every, but like you're asking me this game of the year, and I was like, I don't think it's game of the year, but it's worth it. Like, the more I don't know how long, like how far I was in there whenever you asked me that, now I'm thinking it might be like, it's up there for me.
That's insane.
It might be my favorite game I've played this year.
Oh my god.
And it's insane. Like, it's not like, it's a pixelated thing, but it's almost like a 3D pixelated. Like, they do a good job with the artwork.
Yeah.
But like, every single thing that I unlock, every new thing I get, I'm sure at some point you're going to hit a wall, right? At some point, it's just going to be like, well, now finish out collecting all the fish or something. I'll be like, ah, okay, enough. But like every time I think I got it, I'm like about done with it, a new area opens up, a new area opens up, and it gets bigger and deeper. And it's just like, it's crazy. So like I'm at the point now where I think I've seen the entire ocean, but also I know that I can upgrade my suit some more, which means that there has to be something, like upgrading your suit lets you go deeper and deeper and deeper in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So I know something has to be opening up soon. I'm like giddy about it. Cause I'm like, okay, let's see what the next thing is.
Yeah, no, I've been hearing really good things.
It's crazy. It's so cool. It.
There's just something about like these, I mean, it's an indie game, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's, I guess they look at the, maybe the limitation of resources forces them to look at games in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's just pure creativity or pure, like, I don't want to say efficiency, but like, you know, refining mechanics.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the flashy cutscenes or.
So it's crazy. Funny you mention that. They have little cutscenes. Like after you do something or you meet a new character,
mm-hmm.
there's this digital, like it's a pixelated cutscene
yeah.
of the character. And I think all of them are hilarious and awesome. And yeah, I can't say any more than that, but like, it's like every character is so unique and very that character.
Yeah.
It's so cool, dude. So that is a game you have to play this year.
Is it on Game Pass?
No.
Is it $30?
I think it's like, I think it got maybe out for like 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was that the Steam sale though?
I mean, I'll tell you right now how much it is. Whatever I paid for it, I know I should have paid more. For what you get out of this game, it's actually kind of nuts. Because you think about all these games of like, oh, I paid $70 for
right,
this.
Right.
And meanwhile, this is the only game that I'm like constantly thinking about. I'm like, I need to play more of this and just to get lost in it. It's a perfect Steam Deck game. I don't know why it's not coming up, but
no, people were raving about this game, so
I think it's a 90 right now on
it's definitely a mighty guy.
Yeah.
On Open Critic. But yeah, no, and here's the thing too. It was like one of those situations where there wasn't a ton of reviews. I think there was like 20 something reviews. So I was like unsure if this was like, sometimes you see like a niche game get really highly rated because there's like 6 reviews, right?
Right.
I feel like 20, you're starting to get in a circumstance where it's like, okay, well, it's probably enough reviews that yeah. it's actually just a good game. But yeah, it's like top 10 or 5 on Open Critic this yeah. year.
It's $20.
It's not bad. On Steam, right?
It's amazing.
Well, I'll add it to my list of never-ending games I have to play.
The thing that I feel bad about is another good one, Dredge, came out. That
yeah.
I was playing.
Yeah.
It was high up on my list. I was like, this is a really good game.
Yeah.
Also a fishing game.
right.
But albeit with a much, much darker, more depressing tone. So they are very different games. I still love that game. But if it was like, pick your favorite fishing game, like Dave the Diver just
slaps
like this guy's for lunch. Like it's like they, where Dredge, it kind of got to a point where it's like, okay, you have to grind some things out before you can move on. Dave the Diver, it's like fun in everything you're doing. It's like you're, and maybe it's just like in my brain how I'm like the collectathon, the constant like check box type stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like every dive you do, and you could do 3 a day, is like you're checking off like 20 different things, right? So like you just pick up everything and it's all moving you forward, which is super cool. But
yeah, it seems like a very much a Tyler game.
Yeah, I don't know how much it would be for like streamers. So like I think of Jeff immediately of like, oh, Jeff, this would be a great game for him to try. I don't know how well that's going to play on like Twitch.
Yeah. Right? It's a very relaxing
yeah.
kind of game. That's yep. fair.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, you mentioned Stardew Valley. Yeah, that's
it's the same, yeah, same vibe.
Yeah. yeah. Interesting. Do you think I'll like it though?
I don't know.
That's the question. Because I'm like thinking, like, look, I believe you. I believe the community.
Yeah.
But generally, like, I think those games are fine, but I would never call a game like that game of the year for me personally.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. But, you know, I have been talking about like Flash games and stuff recently. because I had you play Henry Stickmin.
Yeah.
And
we talked about that last week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And I think that kind of the indie games that we see is, to me, in my mind, it's like the evolution of like that flash game era where you have these like super small studios just making these kind of fun games. Like when you describe things like that, I definitely know there was a million of them, but there's games where like you mine in the earth, mm-hmm. and you get like rare stuff, and then you go up top and you upgrade, blah blah blah.
Steam World Dig is the SteamWorld Dig 2. Yeah. Those are the two that I was thinking.
There's a ton of them though.
Yeah.
Something I think about that was popular, this game was called Learn to Fly.
Yeah.
It's this penguin that flies with a hang glider. And you keep going further and further. And that started as like a flash game.
Yeah, and like there's a ton of different versions of them on like mobile and stuff.
So it gives me those kind of vibes, but it seems like we're getting to a point where like it's just being refined, mm-hmm. that kind of formula. Because I think there is a kind of formula to that where it's like you go out, you get resources, you come back, you upgrade. Like that's the standard foundation. And the way you describe it, it seems like this is like just really enhancing that and adding to it in a really creative and interesting way.
It's a video game. It's just a fun, like everything they do is smart.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing is like everything they do just makes you feel good. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you like it. I'll have to check it out. I have a lot of games to play.
I mean, I had the two, like we were talking League of Legends. If I can just knock all my stuff out, but like I did Convergence, I did Mage Seeker.
Yeah.
Mage Seeker is cool. I didn't get super, super far into that, but I played a couple hours of Convergence and like that game's real fun. Like I like my side scrollers, like or in the Blind Forest and like Shank, it feels like. But it's very tight and fun, and like the movement and stuff is really cool, and like the rewind time with Echo and stuff is all neat. So like more to come there. I don't know if I care so much about the lore as much as I did with Rune King. Like Rune King was like, I liked the characters, I liked the voice acting, all that stuff. This one is hit or miss for me, but the gameplay, like again, you know, I'm a gameplay guy, but like Convergence is really good.
Yeah, I think one thing that game has going for it is, I know you were excited for that one in particular because of the side-scrolling aspect.
Yeah.
But for anyone who watched Arcane, that's going to be the same character from Arcane, Echo, and that's going to be the same place. I think it takes place in Zaun. So, I don't know if that maybe contributes to people playing it because I know Arcane did really well. Mm-hmm. It was really popular for people outside of the league genre, like scene. I don't know. I think it got decent reviews on Open Critic. We were talking about that. I think Mage Seeker and Convergence got like
80, 81.
Yeah, like purple, which is good. Like you said, like I know that, you know, when we were talking before the podcast, I was like, I got a lot of things to do. I don't know if I'm going to get to those purple games. And you're like, well, purple's good still.
Purple is where you want to be. Like those hidden gems, like
purple's great. Like I respect purples, and what we mean by purple is like the second tier on Open Critic is a purple guy who's like a little less happy than the mighty guy.
Yeah,
actually, I want to describe the mighty guy as happy, more like powerful,
jacked.
He is jacked.
Blah. Yeah,
the purple guy is pretty happy though because he knows like this is where it's at. Anyways, what was I gonna say? I know I poo-poo Tyler's rating of Diablo being at 80, but like 80 is still solid, right? Like, so I don't know, maybe I have to readjust my mindset, but like I've been, look, this game this year, I guess it's a good transition, like this year has been insane for games.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best years I can remember in recent history, where it's like I would say there's at least like 5 game of the year contenders.
Yeah,
it's actually nuts. So you know, it would be a great top 5 is like best year for video games.
I thought we did that, didn't we? Or no, I think we did. We just picked a random year.
We did. We looked at every game of the year by year. And okay. I think we rated those.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like, look at the catalog of that year and which is the most stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I forgot what I was going to say.
No, it's a good year for video games.
Oh, yeah. It's a great year for video games. So like I'm trying to work my way through like the top ones, which a lot of them are AAA games this year, right? Like,
yeah,
in recent history, we've seen like indie games kind of, I don't want to say dominate, but like some of the most interesting Game of the Year contenders, it seemed like were indie games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like the major AAA games, like maybe there was like one or two really good ones for that year, but other than that, it was like nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this, I think, before, but like, would you rather only be able to play red tier or like, what is it, 90 and above, I think, or right. 91 and above right. games?
Yeah.
Which are few and far between, mm-hmm. and, but that's all you play during the year. Or would you only want to play purple tier, which is like 76 to 89 or something like that, and in like that area? And
you're purple tier.
I think I would rather be the purple tier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, I think you get the hidden gems there.
Yeah.
And it seems like just you as a player,
yep.
just get that excitement out of those like kind of games.
Usually they're not like crazy deep, although Day of the Diver is very literally and figuratively deep. And yeah, like it's one of those, like it's just fun.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, this is a relaxing, you know, it's not Zelda where it's like, there's a million things to, like Zelda, I probably will never finish that. I'll probably never go back to it. I don't even know, because it's just overwhelming. Like already, I don't remember all the controls. I'm like, I have no idea what I was doing, you know, like before. So it's like those bigger games, those high tier games, like you have to stay on them and knock them out. Otherwise it's like, yeah, I don't know.
That's kind of how I felt about Resident Evil though. Like it was just a throwback to like, this is just a video game.
Yep.
Silly and fun.
Resident Evil's great.
And the mechanics are good, but I never felt like overwhelmed or anything. Like, I think that's a fair point. Like, especially when you're looking at sequels, right? We've talked about how you have to improve. You have to make it bigger, better, things like that. And maybe that comes at the expense of making it a little bit too complicated. Although I haven't played the Zelda, so I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, Zelda doesn't. Social media doesn't help. Where you see all these TikToks of people making like star destroyers and just nuking the planet or whatever. And it's just like,
that's
okay,
crazy,
like,
dude.
Yeah, it's. I think it was like they made like a TIE fighter or something. They're like flying
amazing.
Around just killing people. Like, yeah, but it's like I'll never do that. Like, I'll have two sticks together and hopefully I'll be able to like.
See, that surprises me though, because like you love that creativity, like building things,
but it's too clumsy on Nintendo. I do. I hate 30 frames per second. So
is that what it is?
Yeah.
And
on a good day, like it definitely drops below 30.
Yikes!
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, look how massive it is, dude. It's crazy. Yeah. Oh, run it on a Switch.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But it still feels like you're fighting the controls more than it's just effortless and smooth. Yeah.
So you're not able to play Final Fantasy then at 30 frames?
So I actually put it on performance mode. And I think it's largely fine, yeah.
Maybe they patched it, but I know when I was playing it, dude, it would dip. Especially depending on the area you're in, it would be like 40.
It like whenever I'm in like the town or whatever, like it definitely dipped.
Yeah.
But in my mind it's like I'd rather have it dipping, because like I need to play this game, right? Because like you really love it. Jeff liked it. Like we have to talk about it. I want to be able to talk intelligently about it. I want to play the game. So in my mind, it's like I'll take a dip, and I has to be above 30. I tried doing it like 30, like, and I was like trying to get used to it. And I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it took me a while. I just kind of trudged through the 30 for a while, and now I'm pretty adjusted to it. But it, you know, for you, like the combat's pretty locked at 60. So
yeah. The combat's fine.
That's the most important part.
Combat is very Devil May Cry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how much.
Someone who's involved in Devil May Cry, like, worked on this.
Oh, okay.
Which
is, that would explain it. Yeah.
Maybe I just made that up, but I think that's the case. But, yeah, we'll get into that. I mean, something about Final Fantasy I did want to talk about, though, is there's been, like, this argument online about the sales of the game.
Yeah.
So I think it sold 3 million. Was it the first 2 weeks or was it the first week?
I think it was the first week.
So 3 million copies sold the first week, right? Mm-hmm. And people are saying like, oh, this is a flop or a failure or below what they wanted or whatever. And Square is super disappointed, to the point where Square actually came out and they said, no, this is were very happy with the results of this.
Yeah.
Because like what people were doing is they were comparing it to like Final Fantasy 15, Final Fantasy 7 Remake, right? Those kinds of numbers. And like the thing you have to consider too is like this is a PS5 exclusive, right? You don't have the PS4 install base, which is a huge number of people. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think to this day the PS5 base is not huge. Like,
yeah, I mean, they, what was it, a year and a half, 2 years that you just couldn't find one?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And like, you're still, you would have to still see fallout from that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's like priced pretty high still, I would say.
To be fair, you're never going to see fallout on PlayStation, but go on.
Maybe someday.
Maybe.
When Microsoft buys Sony. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow, what would the courtroom look like there? I mean, I guess no one would be arguing against them. Right.
Yeah, maybe Nintendo would be like it. Yeah.
Nintendo is just like, we're here. Anyways, sorry,
not to jump all topics, but they did extend that out. So they have another 3 months to make that deal.
What?
Activision and Microsoft extended their thing. So they were supposed to have it solidified by the 18th, how we talked about last
week.
They extended another 3 months. So Microsoft doesn't have to pay the $3 billion and they get to fix their stuff on the UK.
That makes sense.
It's going to happen. But go
100%. On. Yeah. Especially now. So yeah, it was just kind of this weird thing where I don't know why people wanted, like, were really hating on this game and wanted, it seems like they wanted it to fail.
Oh, you mean the internet was angry about something? That's crazy.
Yeah, but what do they pick? They would never do this to Elden Ring, ever. It's their beloved child. You know what I mean?
Like, it all depends. Like, I would love to know what the cross-section is of people making those claims. Like, is it just like Xbox fanboys saying like,
maybe
Sony sucks at, you know, Final Fantasy.
They'd never say that about God of War.
Well, yeah, I guess, but also
everyone
God of War isn't making...
loves God of War.
Yeah, I would have to look up God of War sales. But, I mean, when you look at, like, Final Fantasy VII, that did, like, close to 6 million copies in 3 days or something like that. But, again, you're going off of the PlayStation 4 base.
Right.
And then I think Final Fantasy XV was PS4 exclusive, right? Or was it on Xbox as well?
It was on Xbox as well. It was on everything.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. Well, then there you go. So, like, it's not even apples to apples. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what it does whenever it comes out on PC.
Yeah, I'm interested. Like, I think it has an extremely strong start. And then we'll see, like, I know that, like, the 10 million mark is, like, kind of the milestone people try to hit. Like, that's a very successful game, obviously. So, like, we'll see when that... Because I think FF15 hit 10 million at a certain point.
I mean, we can always check.
But
the research department thing.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to say is 3 million the first week is good. On one system, that's really good. And you have to have recouped your costs on that, right? Like, I would imagine that this game was insanely expensive to make with all the fucking cutscenes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right? But yeah. 3 million copies, $70 price point, that's got to at least break even.
You would think so. Like, they're calling out stuff like, you know, it was rated M, so you're cutting your audience that way. It's, you know, only on PS5, so you're cutting
your audience. Yeah, but think about your audience, dude. Your audience at this point who played Final Fantasy when they were kids.
Yeah.
Have children.
Oh,
yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I would love to see the numbers on, like, how many of the younger generation are playing Final Fantasy? It doesn't seem like...
Yeah, I wonder if my nephew ever touched a Final... knows what Final Fantasy is,
right,
or anything.
It's just, like, maybe I'm way off base with the youth of today, but it seems like that's not, like, the popular kind of game for the mainstream kid to pick up, I guess.
Yeah, and especially because there's nothing on this one, and I think this is... I don't want to put words in Jeff's mouth, but there's not anything that looks... unique, I guess, in a way. Like, if you look at, like, I'm going to show you a picture of the main character, and he's like glowing and has a sword and stuff. It's like that almost looks like prototype from PlayStation 3 from 10 years ago or whatever. He looks very generic. Like, if you just took a screenshot of it, you wouldn't really know of, like, oh, that's, you know, like, that's Cloud with his Buster Sword, and there's, you know, like, his classic, like, Mako background and all that stuff, you know? Like, 16, and granted, I haven't played a lot of 16, so obviously I don't know, but it's just like, if you're a kid and you're going in, you're looking at all this stuff, I feel like it blends in.
Yeah, how do you discern?
With today's games, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, if you look at the marketing efforts for this game, it was clear they went super hard, because they had like a million trailers. But I think Square always does this, where they have a million trailers.
Yeah.
But they even had like a demo.
Yep.
That was like the entire...
Well, that's what I'm playing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like...
It's like the start of the game.
They really needed this to, like, they were like, I don't know. That I think that's how they try to counteract that, maybe. Where it's like, no, just try it. Like, you literally have no reason not to try it.
Yeah.
And they, I guess they believe in themselves enough where it's like, no, it'll grab them.
The thing that kills me with the demo is I couldn't turn off blur, which is also, I'm sure, killing me with like 30 frames. Because it's 30 frames.
Well, if you say you have to
blur.
Play it, then you should just buy it.
Yeah. Like, deep down, I'm still kind of hoping that it's like, they announce it for like PC like early next year or something.
Right. After the
game of the year. Yeah.
Game of the year discussion.
I'll get to it, man. Dave the Diver just has my,
dude,
has my number.
Play
right
Dave
now.
The Diver, man. I'm very happy for you.
Do we want to, sorry, did you want to talk any more about Final Fantasy 7 or 16? I know we're going to kind of do a segment on that.
No, yeah. I want to save it. I just thought it was an interesting thing because I saw a lot of like videos and discussions about that, and it was just super strange. I was curious what you thought.
I just think it's the internet being the internet. That's how I would view it.
Yeah.
Like, no one cares about sale. Like, I mean, they'll, I'm willing to bet they're going to do the same thing with Starfield.
Oh, Starfield.
Yeah.
I thought you like another exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, Starfield's exclusive.
Yeah, but they have PC. I mean, that's a, you know.
I guess. I just think that, like, if you're, then I let me put it this way. I think the next game that we're going to hear, like shit posting about,
yeah,
is going to
be
Starfield.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. One way or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, what were we going to say?
I was going to say, I mean, did we want to talk about upcoming games that we're going to play? I know we're going to kind of do that to the end, but I feel like that's like a
smooth
transition.
Let's do it. So currently I'm playing FF16.
Yep.
And I think I'm like 75% of the way through. So I plan to knock it out this weekend.
You're mainlining it, right? Like, you're just...
Nah, I'm doing all the side quests.
Oh, you are?
I love this game.
Apparently, there are two different versions of side quests. There's, like, side quests that you'll get something good out of, and side quests that are filler.
Yep.
You're just doing all of it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Small spoiler. Not spoiler for the game, spoiler for our segment.
Okay.
I really enjoy the way they do, like, the... how do I want to put this? Like, checking things off?
Yeah.
So...
Okay.
There's your little Tyler.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck.
You should pull in Nate. It's like, dude, it's like Diablo and
Diablo, no.
Tekken, and Spyro all mixed up into one package for you.
No, it's not that. But I do like, and they do a thing where it's like, you know, when you get to some things that are like point of no return.
Yeah, oh, so they'll tell you.
So it's like, oh, be careful. And
you're
it's
not
like,
coming back here for a
shit,
while.
Shit, I only have three side quests. I'll just knock them out. Might as well. But, yeah, anyways, I don't want to get too deep into it, but probably going to 100% of the game.
That's awesome.
I've never platinumed anything either, so I'm like, might as well just do this.
That's super cool.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm playing FF16 currently. You're playing Dave the Diver.
It sounds funny when you say it that way.
Dude, it's literally... I couldn't think of two games more opposite. Dave the Diver, pixelated happy time.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 16, Game of Thrones knockoff, CGI fest.
As it stands now, that could be like we're both going to put them up for like Game of the Year.
I just want a fan artwork of like Clive and Dave back to back.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Fish monsters.
That would be fantastic.
That's what we need. That would be awesome.
Or have them calling in one of the Aeons or whatever. What are they? Are they Aeons?
Icons.
Icons?
Icons. Spelled with an E for some reason.
Is it Aeons in Final Fantasy X?
Yeah, it might be.
Okay, so it's the same thing, but they call them different things?
More or less, yeah. Okay.
But calling in some like fish one and then Dave's trying to like harpoon it or something.
A rare fish in Dave the Diver? Is there like
a
special
rare,
names?
A rare fish?
Yeah, is there like special names for
them? So I don't want to spoil it.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, like a shark. Sharks are tougher to...
Yeah.
So like you have like predatory fish. So like most fish are docile. You can just capture them and they'll like run away from you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there are the ones that will attack you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Anyways, that's what we need.
That would be good.
You could do it easily too, because there's like sections in the Final Fantasy where they use the pixel artwork, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a really cool touch. So you could put a pixel Clive next to a pixel Dave.
One of the, and this is how you know it's a good game, is whenever you go into like the Steam community section.
Yeah.
In the Steam page, and you just look at all the fan art.
Yeah.
And it's just Dave
the Diver
screwing
everywhere.
Fish, man. Just boning those fish. No. It's.
Wait a sec.
No. It's like people, it's the same thing with him. It's the same thing with, what was that super indie one that everyone loved? And I told you needed to play it.
Vampire Survivor.
Undersong?
Undertale?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing with that. Where like the artwork is like insane. Classic. Call of the Lamb is another one. Like, yeah. But Dave the Diver. So that's the thing is Dave the Diver, I think, is in that echelon of like when you talk Stardew Valley, is something special.
Yeah.
From what I'm playing, Dave the Diver is like,
yeah,
my Stardew Valley right now.
Wow. Yeah. That's high praise.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
I love it.
So you're playing Dave the Diver. I'm playing Final Fantasy 16. We should really look up the budgets for each of those games and compare, because that's hilarious.
And team size. Yeah.
It really, like, I don't know if anything sums up our preferences more.
Yeah.
Than those two games.
Yep. About that. Yeah.
So anyways, talking about the rest of the year. So we're halfway through, a little bit more now. On my list, I know you were talking about Revenant 2.
Yeah, I look at them as we have our co-op games and we have our single player games.
Okay.
That we're just kind of doing. So I think co-op, Revenant 2, that comes out Tuesday, getting decent review. It's a purple game. So
purple.
You know, good strong
smiley
combat.
Guy.
we played one session of the first game. I think we both were like, yeah, it's like good. Like it's like fine.
There was literally no reason
to not play
to
it.
Not return to it. And yeah. We just did not for some reason.
Right.
But it was good. It looked good. It played good. Yeah.
So I think if we're doing it for the fact of we need to see that this game is any good, we can rate it and we can make sure it's a game of the year. Cool. And then Street Fighter 6 is another one.
Street Fighter 6 is a must. And I'm kind of derailing our conversation here, but this is what I do. I think Street Fighter 6 looks much better than Tekken 8.
We'll find out.
Haven't you seen the gameplay?
Of what?
Tekken 8.
Yeah, but it's streaming.
It's like developer
until,
matches.
Until you're seeing on your TV, pound for pound, like Tekken 8 is using Unreal 5. I don't know what engine Street Fighter is using, but
I don't. We'll
find out.
RE?
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought so.
I mean, that would make sense.
Again, I could make that up, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Because it's Capcom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
Listen, man, I have Street Fighter 6 and Remnant.
I
purchased
think I
and downloaded on my computer right now. Right,
dude, I want to play Street Fighter 6 so bad.
Yeah.
I love how I was like, dude, I think I really want to play Street Fighter 6. And you're like, oh, okay, John. And then one day you text me like, Street Fighter 6 looks pretty good, man.
That's because I finally like, oh, saw yeah, a okay, non, like thanks, an uncompressed thanks. Version of it where I'm like, oh, these animations are actually pretty neat.
Like maybe I have better. Maybe I can just tell better.
Probably. I got my own eyes, man.
Maybe I can just.
I'm looking at all these
it.
Previews on like a little 4-inch screen.
Yeah.
My phone.
That's fair. Tekken 8 just feels like. I know Tekken has a very unique style to it that's more. I don't even know what to call it.
It's more grounded.
It's definitely more grounded.
It's not, maybe, but it's more so than Street Fighter.
100%. Maybe a little more stiff, would you say?
It's less stylized.
Fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this, dude, Street Fighter 6 just oozes style. I love the style of the game. I love especially the character models just look excellent to me. And the fluidity of the combat looks super cool.
Yeah.
And I was watching like the developer matches of Tekken 8 today. And King's still the GOAT, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks great in this game. He's so fucking jacked. But
they all just get thicker.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same thing with like Street Fighter. Like Ryu is just like this swollen muscle.
Old man.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks good, but I think Street Fighter 6 is just really good.
Tekken was always about the cutscenes. And they got away from that. Yeah. So like if you look at like a Tekken 3, where like Tekken 3 you have it, and then they did like CGI cutscenes. By today's standards, the cutscenes don't look like that great. But at that time, it looked like a freaking movie.
It's like a Final Fantasy-esque.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So like, whenever I play Tekken, I'm not doing it for necessarily the graphics, so to speak.
Mm.
Like, I'm looking at it for, I just want to get through this thing so I can watch the cutscenes. The problem is, because graphics have come such a long way, a lot of developers are using in-engine game stuff to make the cutscenes. I don't think it's as strong as doing like a pre-rendered CGI. Mm. It's like Diablo, right? Like, yeah, all the cutscenes are like fine, but they're all in-engine until you get to the one at the very end where it's like, oh, this is where the budget came
from.
Like, this is amazing. That's what I'm looking for Tekken. They might have it, they might not. We'll see.
That'll be interesting. Yeah. I think it's really cool. So do they have, maybe I don't know. So do they have English voice actors for everyone, or is everyone different? Because like some people were Japanese,
yeah,
and they were speaking Japanese, and then mm-hmm. some people were speaking English,
yeah,
and they're like American, and then I think there was a girl who was French and a guy who was Italian. So do they have, like, is it different languages and you get the subtitles, or can you change it?
That's
or?
How it is. I don't know if you can change it. I think it was Tekken 8 coming out, so I guess Tekken 7.
Yeah,
they were just talking in their
different languages.
Yeah, and everyone can just understand everyone.
I think
that's
super cool.
It's neat.
Super
yeah.
cool. Yeah. Yeah. I actually really games never do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's super neat.
Yeah.
Anyways, you have what's her face back from the dead. I don't even know the lore. Makes me want to get into
June,
the lore though.
Probably
June. Yeah. Yeah.
Jin's mom.
Oh, King's the best.
King's
We're
great.
Just play King.
King, right. King two. Let's be fair. The original King died. He was killed by Ogre.
He's a dude.
God
he's just
war.
A wrestler, right?
Yeah.
But like when he's doing his thing, he's like making jaguar noises.
Yeah. Well, that's a shtick.
But how does he do that? It's like, sounds like a tiger.
Buddy, I don't know.
Does he have a little voice like, box?
Yeah. That was just to set him apart in like Tekken, and they just kind of continued.
The thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Anyways, I'm kind of interested. Would you, okay, this is the last thing I'll say. Would you, I don't know anything about fighting games, but would you say it's fair to say that Tekken's the most technical fighting game versus a Street Fighter?
I am not qualified to answer that question, and I don't want the flame in the heat that actual fighting game people would
yeah we need like I don't think any of our friends are like big fighting game guys, and I would be really curious to know that, because like obviously Street Fighter is super technical, right? Because it's like that's kind of like one of the OGs or one of the ones that like when I think of fighting games, I think of like Street Fighter 2 mm-hmm. getting it put on the map, like the arcade kind of thing. But Tekken always seems super complex and technical.
Tekken,
so I don't,
and
know
I'm
if
biased,
that's a fair
right?
Statement.
So I did not play a lot of Street Fighter. I have six. We'll play six. You know, we'll see. And like, I could very easily see myself saying like, yeah, six looks way better than Tekken. That's totally fine. My thing is, with Tekken, you do get that 3D element, right? So like, if you can sidestep and you can, it's kind of like this. Endless circle. I think like Tekken 4 tried doing like walls where you like bash them into walls and stuff, and that didn't work out too well. So you kind of had this like infinity circle that you could just keep sidestepping around them. They have a lot of throws. So like if you're doing the different throws, you can like break a throw and like throw them instead and stuff. And like I think in 7 they introduced like the finishers and things, which then Street Fighter has too. And I don't know. I mean, do I think it's more technical than like a Street Fighter? Probably not. Like, I'm sure there's just as much, you know, skill and strategy and things like that. Same with like Mortal Kombat, right?
Yeah.
Like you have all that stuff in there too. That
like I would feel like Mortal Kombat's less technical than the other two.
You would think, but then you watch people play the game and it's like holy, like they're just on another level of.
Oh, 100%. I mean it's. Look, you're going to have people, especially with fighting games, the skill expression is always going to be there. But
yeah,
again, I'm totally talking out of my element. I'm just, that was something I was curious about. Because I think, you know, one of the difficult things is getting new people into the genre.
Yeah.
Because fighting games, you know, seem pretty scary to get into. Because it seems really complicated. And from what I hear, Street Fighter VI does a pretty good job of kind of bridging the gap a little bit.
The way that I look at it is part of this is like my cousins just play Tekken, so I was like, my cousins liked it, so I like it.
Right.
They're older, that's how I do it. But the thing that stuck with me about Tekken that maybe Street Fighter didn't have was Tekken, every button is a limb, right?
Okay.
So if you're looking on the Xbox controller, you have like your X and Y, those are your punches, and you have A, B, those are your kicks. So if you do one punch, one kick, that's a throw. The other punch, other kick together, that's a throw. So automatically, you know, I want to punch you. Cool. You're hitting one of those two buttons. You know, every single character are just going to throw their fists around.
Right.
My understanding is with Street Fighter, you have like your light attack, your heavy attack, at least it back then. So like my head couldn't necessarily wrap around that because different characters would do a different light attack or heavy attack. And it didn't translate my mind as easily, which is why I gravitated more to Tekken because it mapped better. And I could generally say, I want to kick you. I'm just going to keep hitting X. No matter what character I have, I know if I hit X, I'm kicking you.
Right.
And it just connected with me. That's all.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. But anyways, that was a lot.
Add Mortal Kombat to the list because that's another fighting game that we'll have to play together.
Man, are we going to be playing three fighting games this year? Is Tekken 8 coming out this year?
It's supposed to.
Wow. That's a shocker. Yeah, so Mortal Kombat, which looks really... I thought that looked fantastic.
But can you imagine Tekken, Street Fighter, and Mortal Kombat all coming out the same year? Like, when you're talking about the games that are actually like launched, like, that's insane.
This year is unbelievably
stacked.
Baldur's
Gate is around the corner.
And people... The hype is building for this game, yeah, Tyler. Dude, it is getting
Diablo,
crazy.
Diablo is the best marketing for Baldur's Gate. Like the memes of people being like, okay, and then Diablo, you see the sorcerer do his kind of teleport. It's a new one. It's kind of weird. I'm gonna go ahead and hit the teleport. It like blanks out the screen, and then Baldur's Gate just comes up. He's like, okay, and it teleported you into Baldur's Gate. Enjoy that game. So it's just like, okay.
Oh, man. Yeah. Dude, the hype mounting for Baldur's Gate 3 is insane.
It looks cool.
Where, like, I was reading all those articles. I don't know if it was clickbaity or not, but it was, like, developers being like, this isn't the new standard for RPGs or whatever.
Oh, like trying to head it off in the past. Like, we can't do this.
Yeah, like, this is they had a lot of time and blah, blah, blah. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This might be really good.
Yeah.
I mean, Larian's great, right?
Yeah.
Like, Divinity... Original Sin 1 and 2. Honestly, Divinity Original Sin 2 lauded as one of the best RPGs of all time.
Yep.
If you look at like those lists.
Yeah,
so,
if you go on like Steam even and you just look at, if you sort it by like the ratings or whatever, like like
it's up there.
Divinity 2 is up there.
And
then they went back and like not remastered them, but like did like an ultimate version of them and just gave you that.
For free. Yeah, no, the way their philosophy and the way they do things, it's like it's Nate's like favorite studio by far, and
yeah.
I definitely understand why. Like they are all about the player,
mm-hmm.
And they do this thing too where it's open beta. I think it's been open beta for over a year, maybe years,
easily.
Plural.
Yeah, I think it's years.
And they just completely upgrade the game, and you know that's.
I think it was like 21.
Yeah, I felt like it's been forever.
Yeah, it's been a while,
and it's like. Yeah, I guess other developers are complaining about that because they're like, well, technically it's already out. And it's like, no different.
Mm.
It's kind of similar to like open access, sort of, except this game's actually coming out.
Yeah, but isn't it only like the first part or something? And like not all the characters were there, not all the.
Yeah,
like,
but they keep updating it. And I think
it's available 100%. For playing.
I thought so. That was my understanding.
No, I didn't realize that.
I thought so. Because like when Nate was talking to us, he was like, oh, dude, they're adding. Cleric next week or whatever, and
maybe he was trying to downplay just how much was in the game. Like whenever I was talking to, because like you know me, like I'm on the fence of playing with you guys, right? Where it's like,
right,
I really want to play the game. I know that probably the way to play that game is with other people.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know because I don't know if I'm going to be as invested, with like a full unless we're like super tight knit and everyone is like.
We have to be on the same page.
Yeah, and we just all play it all differently.
Something that kind of gets me as well with co-op like that. Like this seems like very immersive,
mm-hmm.
story dense, and like when you have your buddies playing, like I don't know, I feel obligated to talk to my friends when I'm on a call with them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a game where it's like I probably like if I was playing by myself, I wouldn't be saying a word, and I would be really engrossed. So
right.
like you get that kind of
yeah.
dichotomy there. Like I kind of struggle with that with Divinity, whereas like I couldn't really focus on what people were saying.
Well, we were also all going out and doing different things or trying to steal stuff or being dumb. Like
yeah.
if it was truly run almost like a D&D campaign where it's like, okay, it's the is it actually four people?
Three or four people.
Yeah. And we're all together and we don't separate. And it's like everything we do is like a group decision type thing.
Right.
Like a D&D campaign. I could see that being fun.
You have to treat it like there's a DM.
Yeah.
And you have to like respect his time.
Yeah.
Because like the way we played Divinity Original Sin 2, the DM would have left.
Yeah. Well, the DM would have left. And then like, and I mean, this is, Nate loves this game. So like, why wouldn't you play it? But it's like, you're going to play ahead or you're going to play other characters. You're going to like keep re-rolling and changing things and stuff. And it's just like.
And that gets to you.
It gets to like, we're not experiencing it at the same time, which again is fine, but like, I don't care who you are. Like, after you play something so many times, like, you're gonna blow through something or you're gonna know something's gonna happen. So you're gonna subconsciously prep for it or do stuff. So it's just like, I don't know. We're just at different points of that game where it's just like, do I wanna play it? Yes. I just don't know if it's like a four-player co-op thing for me or if it's just like I hunker down and it's just like a RPG where you're controlling all the characters. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean,
like, I want to play with you guys. Like, I enjoy playing with you guys. I think it's something we could all do together. I think that'd be cool. Like, I could literally make Thok. Like, that's awesome. Super
appealing
to me. Yeah, like, that's super cool, but I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Can you imagine you making Milo and make Thok, and we just like,
I guarantee I won't be able to make Milo.
You don't think?
You cannot make a kid in that. I would be shocked if you could make a child
be,
in that.
That would be super.
That
cool,
would be
though.
Game
How cool
of the year.
Would that be?
That'd be game of the year.
Yeah,
that'd be fucking crazy,
that would
dude.
Be really cool.
They come. You know what it's going to come down to me, and I hope they can do this. You have to test the voice actors out.
Yeah,
because if you only get a certain number, and this is what I hated about Diablo 4, was I didn't know the voice before I went in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I know what voice I'm working with, I can now tailor my character to how I think that voice sounds.
Yeah.
Luckily, the rogue's pretty spot on to what you think.
Yeah,
rogue
I mean, the voice
be.
Acting is really good in there.
No,
but 100%.
I
made a necromancer for. Well, sorry. Do we? I mean, we could keep going. Like,
Baldur's Gate 3, Starfield, which is. Dude, there are some insane some games. And then Spider-Man, which.
Yep.
Spider-Man 2 is going to be really good.
I keep dismissing Spider-Man.
Same.
And I keep forgetting that I have a PlayStation and it is my duty to
play. You have
play.
To play Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I have to play it just because like my PlayStation sits there so long without being touched. I'm like, okay, got to get the juice in while it's good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really happy that I've been crushing Final Fantasy.
There's just not enough time.
That's what I'm like, saying.
Yeah.
I don't have time. So like with your argument about the Purples versus the Mighties,
yeah,
I don't have time for the Purples, man. I need to see what these mighty guys are about because there's like 20 of them this year.
But they're all coming out in like clumps. So that's the thing is like you finish Final Fantasy this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Then like we could knock out Remnant, I think, in probably a week.
Probably.
Or at least know what
but
our that, rating is of it, you know?
Initially, that was my plan to like, okay, now I'll jump into Street Fighter since that's been
or
out.
Or Street Fighter. If you'd rather play Street Fighter, have Street Fighter 2. Like whatever.
Street Fighter 2?
Yeah, Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter Dose. Also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But is there anything else we're forgetting?
I mean, there's tons of stuff. Like,
remember when Hogwarts came out this year and you just forgot that that was a game?
Yeah, I always forget that that's a game. I can check it real quick. Let me check my Notion.
Other games we're going to play. Yeah, I think we hit them all, but that's an insane list. And we're not even accounting for any other potential sleeper gems that will come out.
Yeah.
Like the indie games. You know what I mean? So that... It's just like,
I beat Storyteller. That was another thing. I got 100% on that.
Yeah.
Everyone should check out Storyteller if you can get it for like, that's like a $10 game. I think that's a clever game. I think that that's definitely in my top 10 this year just because how clever it was. But, well, you know, man, I don't even know about that. Like, there's so many games.
Yeah, dude, look at this. Dead Space, Hogwarts. I played Octopath. You didn't. Star Wars.
I played it.
Yeah, you played a
chunk.
Yeah. Resident Evil, and then you were talking about Dredge, Tears of the Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
right? And then all the games that we met, like you know what I mean. Like that's already what, like five or so that are.
Dead Island 2 came out this year. We have both of the League of Legends games that you got to play still.
Dude, oh my god.
Bolt Gun came out. Halls of Torment came out.
Dude, is Space Marine coming out this year?
What is it?
Space Marine 2?
Yes.
I hope to God it's not. I hope it's not.
I'll check it right now.
Because that would be another game we have to play. Was Bolt Gun any good? Did you finish that?
So
no, it's not. Okay.
I'm going to...
Not bad, but...
Yeah, Space Marine 2 initial release date is 2023 as of right now.
Fuck.
They don't have an actual date that could get pushed.
Dude.
But... So Bolt... Let me... Crazy. So Bolt Gun is good.
Okay.
But have you played Doom? Like...
Yeah.
Doom's really good.
Right.
It's tough to go back to... Like, if you like those, like, retro shooters and you're that guy, sure. Pick up Bolt Gun.
Yeah.
It's good. I liked Bolt Gun. I refunded Bolt Gun because Doom Eternal...
It's just better.
Is just... It's better. It looks better. It plays better. It's more... Like, there's more to do. There's more, like... I don't know.
That's
and
fair.
And my brother-in-law is probably cringing right now if you were to hear it, but...
Is he a big Bolt Gun guy?
Hey, you get Bolt Gun? You playing Bolt Gun? It's like, yeah, man, I got it. We'll see. I finally got around to playing it. It's like, it's cool.
Does he like Doom? He must love Doom.
He liked Doom, yeah.
But he loved Doom.
Well, he really likes Warhammer.
Oh, so gotcha, gotcha.
You need that Warhammer and retro, and it's like, it's cool.
I get it.
Completely. Doom Eternal is just
That's me
so good.
With any MMO.
Yeah.
I need the universe. I need to care. Like, the Star Wars MMO, done. In.
Yeah.
I'm in. There was a Warhammer MMO, I'm sure I'd be in there too. That actually sounds really sick.
I'm sure there will be at some point.
That would be really difficult to pull off.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they did, what was it called? The Tom Clancy one?
MMO?
Yeah. Blanking, because it was a shooter. Wasn't it Tom Clancy?
There's two of them. Mag.
There's two of them. No, it's an MMO, I swear.
I don't know.
What was it called? What was it called?
Tom Clancy MMO.
I thought it was Tom Clancy. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's just a shooter.
PlanetSide?
No. What?
PlanetSide's an MMO shooter.
Is it technically an MMO?
Yeah.
See, MMO. Division.
Massively multiplayer online. Oh, that's not an MMO.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is. I looked up Tom Clancy MMO. Guess what came up?
That's
The Division.
That's not classified as an MMO, though.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is.
Massively multiplayer online.
I thought it was.
No.
Genres. Open world, third person shooter, massively multiplayer online role playing game. Google.
What? Okay. Hold on.
Dude, yes. How is it not? You're in the world with all the other people. I mean, I don't understand.
Yeah, but you're really not. Like... how many players are in, I don't know why I said Division FIFA, Division 2 at one time. That's like saying Sea of Thieves is an MMO. Like, it's really not. The maximum team is 4 players.
That's a party.
Yeah. But you're not coming up against that many parties, is what I'm saying. That's like the maximum team for Sea of Thieves is 4 players.
So you're saying just because there isn't
on the server,
a raid, it's not an MMO?
No, I'm saying Sea of Thieves has 24 players on a server at one given point. Do you think that's an MMO?
Well, how many players are on the server? You said 4 to a team. That doesn't...
4 to a team, but you're not running...
How many teams are there?
Probably less than 6 teams. If you're in like the dark zone, you're running around and stuff.
I'm talking about the regular like map.
Yeah, like you have a hub where you know like Destiny, right? Where it's like, oh, here's the hub. Everyone's just running around there, and you run out. Like
that's more of an MMO than Sea of Thieves, because Sea of Thieves, there's just 24 people on the server.
Yeah,
but this is like the hub. Everyone's there, and then you
go
into your
world. Yeah,
well, that's Guild Wars. That's Guild Wars.
All right.
You're in the hub world, and then you go into your instance.
I guess.
That's literally what happens.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Fair enough.
I don't like this.
Fair enough.
Buffalo chicken pizza isn't pizza. Get out of here.
Also, yeah, that's fair too.
Wrecked you on that one.
Yeah.
That one, you're doomed forever.
Yeah, I still believe it.
But you can't. I can't bring you up to space and show you that the Earth is round, and you still think it's flat. That can't be
true.
That's
different.
No, it's not. I checkmated you.
But how can you know the Earth is round? Okay, we can't go down this path. Never mind.
All right. So this is the games we're playing. It's going to be a challenge.
It's going to be a lot. So my whole thing is I really want to play Remnant.
Okay, let's play Remnant for like an hour, refund it, then play Street Fighter 6 because that's a good game.
We can, but also Remnant's $40.
Green Man Gaming, Green Man. Fucking Green Man.
Do you want to spend $10 less?
I'll let you know. Let me think about it.
All right.
Let me think about it.
I have both. So if you want to do Street Fighter first, let's do Street Fighter.
You want to do Remnant.
I have them both installed. Who cares?
Well, you just said I want to do Remnant.
I am looking forward to Remnant more than Street Fighter.
Do you think I'm going to be better at Street Fighter than you?
Okay, we'll do Street Fighter.
Oh, just kidding. That I'm going to just pound you into the ground. That was such a bait. You will. I am so bad. The last fighting game I played, like seriously,
yeah,
Soul Calibur 2.
Great.
I'm doomed.
No, Soul Calibur is closer to Street Fighter than it is Tekken, I think. Even though Tekken and Soul Calibur are technically
combined. They need to come
out with
a good Soul. Because that, like, yours was Tekken. I loved Soul Calibur.
Heihachi was in Soul Calibur.
Which one?
That's a good question. 4?
I stopped after 3. I played, like, 2 and 3.
I think Heihachi was in there. It's the same time, like, Yoda and Vader were in there.
In Soul Calibur?
Yeah.
Why are fighting games so weird?
Oh, dude, they had freaking so What's-His-Face from Walking Dead with the Lucille bat or whatever.
Or Soul Calibur.
In Tekken.
Oh, in Tekken?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
they brought
the Street Fighter guy into Tekken. They brought, like...
Are they all trying to be Smash or what?
I don't know. The Street Fighter guy... not Zangief. I forget his name now. Anyway. The wrestler guy? No. That's Zangief. The dude with like the balls on is like a ball necklace.
Oh, the old guy?
Yeah.
Who spits fire and shit?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
I think it's Street Fighter that was doing that. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But like he killed
Dalsum?
No.
Okay. Research department.
Tekken 7.
I thought
Street Fighter. Because they did like Street Fighter X, Tekken X, and all that stuff.
I didn't know that they did crossovers. That's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well,
I'd love to see what this Google search is, by the way. Street Fighter character with balls on his chest.
Tekken 7, Street Fighter. Let's call it just Cameo.
Yeah. That makes sense.
There we go.
And that's safe.
Akuma. I couldn't think of his name. Akuma.
Let me see a picture.
Kuma is a...
It's bear in Japanese.
Yeah. Well, he's a bear. So this is Akuma.
A bear.
Yeah. No. This is Akuma from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
He killed Heihachi's like wife or something.
What?
Yeah.
So it's canon.
That's how they got him into it. He was from the beginning. It wasn't like a DLC character. It was like he came in. This is a major canon story arc. Like Heihachi loved one person and this guy comes in and murders her. Anyway, dude, Tekken's wild.
Wait.
But there's also Kuma, which is an actual grizzly bear.
Oh, yeah. In Tekken.
In Tekken, yeah. Who loves Panda, which is a different costume. And then they're different characters. So Kuma, whenever you win as Kuma, the cutscene is always him trying to woo Panda. So in like, I'm making this up, but like Tekken 3, you see Panda and Ling Xiaoyu, who's like this just like schoolgirl or whatever.
Yeah.
Panda's her pet, right? Yeah. And massive panda bear.
Right.
And they're just walking down and stuff. And then you see Kuma like stalking and like being all angry and stuff. And he's getting ready to pounce, right? It just keeps cutting back and forth in this like real Japanese way. And then all of a sudden you see him like lunge. And then he's holding a bouquet of flowers out to Panda. And then they just walk by. You just hear like wind rustling. And then it just cuts. And it's like those wacky cutscenes from Tekken. That's why I love it so much.
And you don't like anime.
Yeah, I don't know. Your brain makes
zero sense.
So one of Ling's cutscenes in one of the Tekken games is literally like anime cartoon.
Yeah.
It's wild. Animation. Dude, it's so... Yeah,
and you hate anime, by the way.
Brian Fury is a zombie. Like, it's a cop. He died. He was a dirty cop. He got killed. And then Dr. Baskanovich, who's just a random doctor, who his whole shtick is he just falls over because he's so old. So like he'll be fighting and then he'll just fall over and then fight from the ground. That's like his fighting style.
Wow.
He'll just kick you and stuff. But he put a generator in Brian Fury, turned him into a zombie, resurrected him. And now Brian Fury, like what his cutscene in Tekken 3 is, the Mishima Corp is like, we have to stop this guy because we shouldn't have zombies. So they're all shooting him and he's like just getting like falls down. And they're like, okay, we killed him. He gets back up and they start laying into him with like machine guns and stuff. And he just runs. A tank rolls down like a street, shoots a shell at him, explodes. You see him run through the fire, jump onto the tank, rip the top of like this Abrams tank off, and then throw it onto the army that explodes that we're shooting him.
Wow.
It, like that's 10 out of 10. That's Tekken. It's so stupid. I love
when you go deep into your Tekken lore.
Dude, but there, like it's the best. So stupid. And every little every character is just like
has its own interactive thing.
Yeah, like Paul and Law are all like
that's what I actually stuff. Well, there's 2 points here. One, I have a perfect segue, so I'm not going to get too far away from this. But that's what I kind of don't like about Street Fighter is I love when characters interact.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in Street Fighter, it's just they have their saying or whatever.
I don't know them deep enough, but they do that in Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat's great. DC.
Yeah, DC. Like DC is my favorite because I actually know those characters.
Yeah,
but
Tekken does it. Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of zombies, I watched Zombieland last night.
Oh, good segue.
Great
okay.
segue. Yeah. I had to.
And those are the games we're playing.
Yeah, those Zombieland. Are the games. Did that have a game? Probably not. Maybe
Zombieland. Yeah, it did.
It was terrible. Right?
Maybe it would be. It like I'm thinking like a mobile game. Maybe I might be making maybe. That up.
I don't think there's ever been a zombie mobile game. Now that I'm thinking about it.
A zombie mobile game?
That's a joke. Yeah, those are the games we're playing, so probably Revenant next. Speaking of zombies, I watched Zombieland last night, so it was one of those, I was telling Tyler before the podcast, it was one of those weird situations where I was like, oh yeah, I've totally seen this movie. And then I was like watching it, because...
It's a PS4 game, by the way. It's called Zombieland Double Tap.
Oh, it's probably so bad.
It's top-down, just top-down twin stick.
God. Anyways... Well, those games aren't necessarily bad, but I'm fine. Sure that's terrible. That's movie license great. Games are just the bottom of the barrel.
Yes.
One of those situations, like, surely I've seen this. Like, everyone's seen this. And it's like a classic. And I was watching it last night because my YouTube algorithm overlords were telling me to.
You watched the whole movie on YouTube?
No, not on YouTube. But, like, I was getting clips. And I was like, oh, gotcha. Yeah. So I have a friend who has all the movies ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I haven't seen this. Like Bill Murray shows up, I was like, I don't fucking remember this part. This is amazing.
Eddie regrets maybe Garfield.
Like, that awesome. Was the greatest scene. Actually, my favorite part was, oh my God, the movie's really funny. I was like, it's been a while since I laughed out loud to a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the last one was actually a Bill Murray movie that you made me watch. Yeah. So that's
maybe too little. Yeah,
poetic. That's a great movie, by the way. I am on board that movie 100%.
Good.
That's a fantastic movie. Anyways, it was when they were in his house and he kills Bill Murray. Well, this is after him. Spoilers.
Spoilers, fuck. Yeah.
The movie came out in 2009.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Fuck. What was I even going to say? It's it's when he's about to get with, what's her face, Emma Stone.
Yeah.
She's super hot, by the way. just in case you didn't know. Anyway, okay. So he's about to make out with her or whatever. And then what's his face comes in and like cockblocks him. No.
Oh, Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Yeah. I was going to say Woody Allen. Two different guys.
Different. Yep.
Anyways, the next morning when they're like, I think they let, I think Emma Stone and her sister leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, what's his face? Columbus is like, I forget what, dude, I'm butchering this so hard, but it was the like funniest fucking thing. He was like, I forget what the line is. It was so good. He was like, dude, you're like, the fucking biggest, he's essentially says like you're the biggest cock block ever, but he says it in a really funny way.
Yeah.
And then Woody Harrelson just like, hey, and just cuts. That was the funniest part. I know it doesn't sound funny.
Okay.
But the way he delivered that, hey,
yeah,
like he was really hurt by the comment. After you see him the whole movie just fucking destroying everything. It was so funny.
Woody Harrelson's great.
What a great cast for that movie. Perfectly
cast. Oh, weird. Yeah. But like it weirdly worked.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, probably going to queue up the second one tonight.
Let me know how that one is. I didn't see that one.
I was actually like, I thought more happened. So maybe I'm thinking, maybe I saw the second one and I like just put all my memories into that one and they all kind of converge. Not a lot happens in the first movie.
No.
It's a great movie. It's very funny. There is virtually zero plot to that movie. It is actually quite amazing how highly rated the movie is with having zero plot. I mean, it's the point, right?
That's a movie where I watched it, wasn't big on it at all. And every time I see it past that, I get more and more like a warm up to it. It
gets a little better. Yeah.
I just don't love zombie movies, gore, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's,
even if it's comedy, like even like Simon Pegg in Shaun of the Dead and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, I'm still not like, I don't love it. Like, it's funny. I like them, but
it's very gory.
Yeah.
Very gory. I like the practical effects though.
Yeah.
I always have a lot of respect, and zombie movies can do that really well.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, all those guys in makeup and the fucking gallons of fake blood that they use.
Dude, like, I can't think of anything with crazier practical effects than The Boys. Like,
The Boys?
That has, like, ruined me forever. Yeah.
What do you mean?
In terms of just, like...
I mean, there's a fair amount of CGI, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying, like, I shouldn't have said practical effects.
Oh.
As far as, like, gore and realism Oh, my God.
Like, no, when I say practical effects, I mean like
actual makeup. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're talking about just destruction.
I said practical effects. I meant just
when Homelander lasers someone in half, it is
brutal. Of course, a lot of that is practical effects too, though. Didn't they win a lot of awards for that?
Well, the lasers aren't.
Well, sure, but like the body that's like just goop.
I think post fucked, yes. But while it's happening, it has to be all CGI'd, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. You're probably right. The best practical effect, is it Star Wars or is it Lord of the Rings?
In terms of moving the industry forward, I would have to say Star Wars. But when you're looking at
the pod racing always gets me. That's like my favorite thing ever.
Even though that's cool, but also like, I'm talking original trilogy when they're like,
no, 100%.
We had to rotoscope this actual model out and do frame by frame and then overlay that to get this. And like, even then they were like pointing out like, this isn't perfect here. And this isn't now it's like we hit and TIE fighter.
We have a pre-rendered.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, 100%.
Lord of the Rings is sick as far as like the perspective stuff. That's really,
dude, the
really
orcs
cool.
are crazy.
Yeah. But that's all practical effects.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Practical effects are the way to do it.
Yeah, but that's like when I'm saying practical effects, I'm talking like you're using effects to make something else. Like orcs are just like, that was really good makeup.
Am I conflating the two?
I think
so. Are practical effects different than makeup? Because I guess my mind is like, these days, the orcs would be CGI, right? So, like, my mind is like, it's practical effects because we're using real people.
I
dressed up as orcs.
I guess. When I think of practical effects, I think more of, this was a miniature that we blew up and just ran a camera down it. And that was practical.
So let me
it
correct
wasn't CGI.
Myself. The costuming is very good.
Yeah.
In Zombieland, Star Wars, and Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Not in that order.
It's everything's good. All cinema. Speaking of cinema, you going to see Oppenheimer and Barbie?
I heard Barbie's really good.
I want to see both.
Same night?
I would do same night.
I still have to see Mission Impossible.
Well, you do that with your mom though, right?
I'm doing that with my mom.
Yeah.
And I have to binge all of them, so I'm like in it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Working on that. And then, I'll go see Barbie with you. That seems like a cool bro activity.
Interesting you went straight to Barbie and not Oppenheimer.
I am much more intrigued by Barbie than Oppenheimer.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Okay.
Who is Oppenheimer? Is he a guy who did something?
Atomic bomb?
I thought that was Einstein.
Okay. Barbie it is.
Barbie it is.
Tell me when you want to go.
I love Barbie.
You got to knock out Final Fantasy, but we can figure that out. Because I'm assuming both of those are going to be like, dude, social media is blowing up with those. So I assume the theaters are going to be packed with Oppenheimer and Barbie.
Yeah, maybe Sunday. You don't like doing things on Sunday?
No, I do Sunday. I just I'm fine with Sunday. You just gotta let me know.
I'm gonna play during the day. Like, I'm gonna play all day tomorrow Final Fantasy and all day Sunday, and then maybe Sunday night.
Well, Sunday night I do dinner with my family, so we'll figure it out. We'll have to make plans on the...
Bring them.
To Barbie.
Bring them to Barbie.
Ugh.
That would pass Tyler's childhood check.
Mm,
no?
No.
Too much commercialism?
No, I'm pretty sure Barbie is going to be very sexualized and like...
It's rated PG.
Crude humor. No.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Bet.
No.
I'll give
is it rated R? There's no way it's rated R.
It's got to be PG-13. There's no way it's...
PG. I tried.
Oh, man. All right. Let's... Dude, look at that.
What?
If you Google
Barbie?
Barbie.
You think they paid for that?
They had to have. Yeah. So I Googled Barbie and pink sparkles went all over Google.
Wow.
And the whole page is pink.
Wow. That's cool.
That's... something. Rotten Tomatoes has a 90% right now.
That's really good.
It's 90% critics and 89% fans.
Wow.
The fans and critics agree.
That's when you know it's good, dude.
Barbie's where it's at.
We gotta go see Barbie, bro. Margot Robbie, she's the goat.
I'm looking up
she's the best.
Real quick.
I love Margot Robbie.
Oppenheimer, 93% critics, 94% audience.
Okay, maybe we gotta see that first. Well, that's Thomas Shelby, right?
It's Thomas Shelby?
Yeah.
It's the Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne's in this?
It's Iron Man.
Who?
Robert Downey Jr.
I know.
Yeah, Matt Damon, kidding. Robert Downey Jr.
Fuck. Okay, we got to see that. Damn it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's a good cast.
But what about... Who's playing Ken? Totally forgot.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me.
No, I know who it is.
Who's playing Ken?
I know who it is.
From The Notebook?
I know who it is. I just can't think of his name.
Blade? No, not Blade. I'm sorry. Blade Runner.
Blade Runner
yeah.
2042?
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. Is that a sequel?
Yeah.
Didn't know that until like years later.
I finally got through Blade 1 and it was pretty... Or Blade 1. Blade Runner 1.
And have you seen Blade?
It was good. I watched Blade Runner and the director's cut or whatever... Then watched 2042 right after.
Yeah.
And it was
nice.
Really good. Yeah.
Okay.
You're giving up? You're not.
On what?
On the name?
Oh, I thought we were past that.
Oh.
Embarrassing me. It is. His name is.
Let's see if I can give you some.
His name is. This is so bad because he's really popular.
Trying to think of like a.
It's right on the tip of my tongue too.
You're a silly goose. Does that help?
Ryan Gosling.
There it is. Okay. I was like, is that going to give it to you? Okay.
You're a silly goose.
You're a little silly goose, Ryan.
I am a silly goose.
All right.
I can't believe I didn't remember Ryan Gosling. Oh, he's so attractive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has fun. I like his personality more than his looks.
That's fair.
Like Henry Cavill. Well, that's a bad
way.
Example because
Henry Cavill's personality is the best.
Henry Cavill looks, dude. Henry Cavill is like, no one looks better than him.
I'm a Brad Pitt guy.
You think Brad? Well, here's the thing. Maybe Brad Pitt's like prime.
Yeah,
but Brad Pitt now does not hold a candle to Henry Cavill.
Let's see how Henry Cavill looks when he's Brad Pitt's age.
Done. Cheeseburger.
That's all I'm saying.
20-year cheeseburger.
Sure, 20-year cheeseburger.
Actually, that's probably not too far off. I mean,
really?
It might only be... Yeah,
I thought Brad Pitt was like pretty old, actually.
Let's see how old Henry Cavill is. This is great, great pod. So Henry Cavill's 40.
Okay, man. On the dot.
Dude, I'm going to be 40 in like...
10 years?
5 years.
I thought you were 30. Didn't you just turn 30?
I'm going to be 35 in September.
Nah, you're 30 in my book.
Thanks, man.
I thought we just did something for you for your 30th birthday. Wasn't that the pool?
No.
I think that was.
That was like 5 years ago, maybe.
We did something, didn't we?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
We did, my 30th was here. We did Mario Kart.
That's what the board is, right?
The board is, yeah.
Wow.
Brad Pitt's 59, so we gotta wait 20 years, 19 years.
Yeah, dude, he looks insane.
He looks good for 59.
He's going to be on Medicare soon.
Yeah.
And he's going to look great. He's going to be the best looking Medicare member we've ever had. And we're going to have like a sign up.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Right. We have to talk about Diablo.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to talk about?
I do.
Okay.
I had a rant, but I'm not going to do it. And then I had an assignment for you, but I think I'm going to save that as well.
Okay.
Well, the I wasn't sure exactly what I want to make you do, and it might be off the wall. And if I do that one, there's a little bit of a preface with it as well that I want to make sure I have prepared. I have mostly prepared, but I want to make sure I'm...
Is this the anime?
No.
Oh, because you had me pumped up. You're like, I have an anime for you. You're going to try that, and if it doesn't work out...
I should do that. I should just fucking do that, but... All right. Stay tuned until the end of the episode. I might make Tyler just do that. Anyways, you might have just dug your grave. You should have never even brought that up.
All right.
I was going to give you a nice, easy softball.
Give me a softball.
No, I can't. But there's a preface to it.
Okay. Well, hold it off till next week. That's fine.
Okay. Anyways, before we talk about Diablo, I want to talk about Civilization VI.
Yeah.
So I played Civ VI this week with the research department. Super fun. Mm-hmm. So Civ VI has been out for a while, and I've had Civ VI for a while. I played a lot of Civ 5, maybe not a ton, but a lot of Civ 5, and I love Civ 5, and then I could never get into Civ 6, and this was the first time I actually got into it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's super, it reminds me of Civ 5 when I first played, like so overwhelming. There's so many mechanics to like keep a hold of and everything like that, and it just gets crazy as you get, obviously, progress further and further in the game. You get more and more cities, yeah. More mechanics open up. More inventions are made. It gets wild. But it's starting to come back to me. I was playing as... Shit, who was I? The Ottomans.
Okay.
I was playing as the Ottoman Empire. So they're very warfare-centric civ. And I hate warfare. I always go like science or culture. Like I'm a very peaceful guy.
Did you random or you?
Yeah, we always do random.
Yeah,
always do random.
That makes sense.
So I got Ottoman Empire. So at first I was like, okay, maybe I can try to go science here. But then this CPU is pissing me off. So I just wiped them off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of on a warpath.
Much like the real.
Yeah, I kind of following in footsteps. Although I'm past. So we're past World War One. I have like, I'm like right there maybe. Mm-hmm. So I'm either going to die like the Ottomans or we're going to get past the hump and we're going to take over the world. So anyways, it was kind of surprising. I don't usually go for the domination victory, but I'm stacked.
Are you... You're playing against Calvin?
We're playing the same game.
Has he sent like envoys of peace yet?
So what we usually do is we usually team up against the computer.
Yeah.
And usually it's me funding his wars.
Uh-huh.
Like I usually just have an insane economy because I just build tall, which means I have a few number of cities that are just super huge and rich.
Yeah.
This time it's the other way around. He's funding me and I'm taking over the world and I am the superpower. Yeah. It's crazy. But Civ 6 is a lot of fun. I think it's in a kind of similar situation as Diablo, where when Civ 6 first came out, it was not as good as the current state of Civ 5 because there were so many expansions and things added to Civ 5 over the years and mechanics. And now Civ 6 has a couple big expansions. I think they have two big expansions out. And I would say comparable or better than Civ 5 at this point.
Nice. Okay.
Might be. So that was a lot of fun. Just wanted to talk about my experience with that. And if you ever want to play Civ 6, you're more than welcome to.
I'll teach you the ropes. I've said it multiple times. I think Harper would like to play it too.
Yeah. I think like getting all the boys together to play a game of Civ. Like that's a day where like nobody's doing anything though. And we just spend the whole day playing Civ.
Yeah.
That's like one of those kind of things. But I think that would be a ton of fun. I would love, I mean, we talked about this where it's like, we have like make an event out of it and stream it and have like rules and stuff.
Oh yeah. No, that
we're
would
like
be
God
super fun.
And we give like mini games and prizes to people. Like that would be so involved. That's the dream. But I think just having a chill day with the
you
boys.
Get, like paid off and like, yeah, exactly, we can have some fun stuff.
Oh
on
my
there.
God.
Yeah.
Like secret challenges, like first person who discovers Buddhism gets reward and nobody knows. Like someone will just randomly pick Buddhism when they discover religion. It's like ding ding ding, you picked correct.
Yep. And see, I love Civ because it is the and this is coming from an RTS guy, but like I love it because it is turn based. You can think, you can strategize, you can kind of take a minute to pick your moves and pick your kind of lane that you want to go and everything, which I think is really cool.
It would be so fun with a lot of friends too, because like there's such something so unique about actually conversing with another person.
Mm-hmm.
you get the trades going, you get the betrayals, like that's the fun part. And it just doesn't hit the same with the AI.
Yep.
Someday it will. But as of right now, it's like, that's where it's at. And I think that would be so much fun.
Even doing something where, like, if you want to do, like, anything above table, that's totally fine. But anything under table, it's like you have to, like,
message them in Discord.
I almost would say, like, there would be a rule where it's like you're allowed to do it under the table, but you have to announce that you're sending it a message to somebody. You don't have to say what the message is, but it's just like, hey,
or
John and Tyler are talking. We don't know what they're talking about, but
make different rooms in Discord.
Yeah.
So two people would just drop all of a sudden, and then everyone could check to see who, oh shit, Tyler and John are in the other room, dude.
That would be really cool.
And then it's like locked, like there's only two people max or something. So nobody can. Yeah. That would be fun.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. It's just like all of a sudden.
I'd be down. I know Kyle and Gerard, like, I don't remember if Nate enjoyed that or not, but we could have some fun.
That would be like a once. I would love it to be like an annual.
Yeah.
Because I think we can get Gerard for one day a year. Just say, hey.
Oh, Gerard block would, out. He would love. Dude, he loves.
If we could get a weekend, that would be perfect, but at least one day. Because I would love to finish a game. And I think if we do it on like quick setting, we could probably do it in one day. And if we do it on normal, maybe it would take like 2 days, but I don't know.
Dude, Gerard, like when we were used to be going, like actually went to soccer games, like we'd go to like Ohio or some 3-hour trip. And the moment Gerard realized that Civ was on the Switch, he's just in the back of the car, just like that's all he did.
That's
it was
awesome.
Just for 3 hours straight.
I'd love to do it. I think we could get a decent number of people. I think we could get you, me, Calvin, Gerard, Kyle, John. That's six. Mm-hmm. Mike? No Mike?
I don't know if Mike would play that.
So potentially Nate or Mike.
Yeah.
That would get us to eight, which would be a great game.
Maybe
or we could
do
six.
Jeff could maybe play. I don't know if he would do
Jeff,
it.
Jeff, maybe. Yeah. Maybe Ryan.
Yeah.
So yeah, we could potentially, if we could get to 8 to 10, that's the perfect amount. I think we could definitely do six, although I might want to add like a NPC or two just to make things interesting. That'd be fun. All right. I've talked too much about that. Civ 6 is a great game.
Yes.
Diablo 4 is also a great game.
I think it's a good game.
What's been going on? There was a fireside chat.
So
a couple weeks ago, a week ago?
Let me give you a quick
backstory.
Diablo came out. You and I rated it. We beat the campaign. We got everything through. July 20th, season one starts. July 18th, they put the patch in. You see all the patch notes come through on like what the changes are and what's happening and everything like that.
Right.
Before that, they heard the community feedback and they said, hey, we hear you. We're going to make dungeons give more XP. So the Nightmare Dungeons will be more rewarding. We're going to give you more XP for the Tree of Whispers. We're going to buff a lot of stuff. They're just like, here, we'll make the end game better, right? So now season one comes out, and you start looking at all of the changes. And essentially what they did is every like main build in the game, more or less, I think there are a couple, like the Necromancer maybe didn't get touched as much, but like the Sorcerers got decimated. My Barbarian is unplayable.
Really?
So like the thing they did is they upped the cooldowns, they made the enemies harder, they made you squishier, they cut the XP like an insane amount. So the way that it's scaled, I brought you into like my tier 4 or whatever. I brought John into the tier 4 just to like level him up real quick. Power leveling is like gone. Like you can't now. So it's all based off of level and where you are and different things like that. Like now you have to be level 40 to do the first capstone dungeon. You have to be level, I don't know, like 60 to do the second capstone dungeon. So like you can't skip things. You can't do anything. Before it was like, if it was like within one level or two levels of you or something before, I'm making this up slightly, but it's like you used to get like 15%. Now you get 1.5%. And like the max percentage you can get on doing like the hardest stuff is a 20% bonus, which is insane. So if you fight something that's like 10 levels higher than you, which you were getting like 50% bonus or 100% bonus, some crazy amount, now you're getting 20%. So they made everything harder. They cut the experience from the Trio Whispers. They made the Hell Tides harder. They made the chests more expensive. So like there was like a higher risk reward for like dying in the Hell Tide and stuff like that. So it's just like they made a lot of things not fun, and a lot of the builds that people were using, some of them, like if it's a bug and people are exploiting a bug, I get you fix the bug, people are pissed, whatever. But what they did is they started like nerfing everything. So instead of bringing up skills that maybe weren't as good to try to get them in parity, they just nerfed everything. But then they also made the enemies harder. So it's like people on the outside are just like, what are you doing? Like you just nuked everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, they did all that. They heard it was a huge outcry. They got review bombed. It's like a 3 now on Metacritic or something. Like it just got
that's what destroyed. I was going to talk about. Like yeah. I saw this is what I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
The aftermath.
And people were not happy.
But this hasn't even come out yet, correct?
It was out. So
okay.
So the patch hit on the 18th.
Okay.
So if you played the Eternal Realm, you could see a lot of this stuff on the Eternal Realm. The season started on the 20th. So when you started a new character, so technically it started yesterday.
Yeah.
From when we're recording this.
Yes. But
yeah. So Thursday last week.
So people know that it's shit. They've played it.
They knew it a couple days ahead of time.
Because of
and then we're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, one of the most inconsequential things in the game are gems, right? So right. Like you socket things in, you get, you know, these slight boosts, and it was just like, why are you picking these up? They're killing inventory space, they're not doing anything for you. And then the whole point of the season is those you don't use gems anymore. Now you're just using these like corrupted hearts to give you like wild buffs. That's good, and like some people are like, some of these are really powerful and that's really cool, and they added new unique items and all this stuff, all really cool, but now you made the gems even less important, and like it's like none of that matters.
So you still have the gems.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that people relied on for defense and armor and things like that, a lot of that got nerfed. Like I said, for me specifically, what they did with a barbarian, and I don't want to get like in too much in the weeds, my whole build was I spin around and I slow everyone and I bleed everyone. And I wear them down and I kill them all. Right.
That's getting in the weeds.
Well, no. I don't want to get it. So that's what it is.
High level
in the weeds is I have one ability that I just slow everyone all times. Well, I changed that I only slow enemies that are above 80% health, which is a big difference. Yeah. So now all the enemies are a lot faster. I'm a lot squishier because my armor isn't as good. Like,
yeah.
It's like they completely changed it, and I rely heavily on my shouts to buff my damage. But now all the shouts have a like longer cooldown. It's just like ruined the flow of it. Killed the experience and everything. So they did all this. They heard the community outcry. They're like, "Hey, we're doing a fireside chat," and that was Friday.
Okay.
So the day we're doing it. Did you want to talk about anything? I can.
No.
Give you a
tell quick. Me about the fireside, because I thought the fireside was the patch. So I appreciate the clarification.
No, so the fireside is them saying,
we fucked up.
We hear you. This is what we're going to do. So someone on Reddit luckily did this, and Kyle sent this over. So this is all super nice. But this is kind of high level.
Okay.
Sorcerer and Barbarian will be buffed in the next few weeks. So think about that for a second. Each of these seasons are a quarter. So you get 4 seasons a year, few months. Now it says in the next few weeks. Kind of open-ended. We don't know what that means. They're going to get buffed. Cool. So there's that. There will be, quote-unquote, substantial increases to mob densities in Hell Tides and Nightmare Dungeons. So more guys should give you more XP, but you nerf the XP. So why wouldn't you just bring the XP back on what you already had? So there's that. In the next patch, there will be an addition stash tab. So they're just giving you an extra stash. And elixirs, which I don't think you got to, are going to be increased to 99. That's good, because elixirs, I think you can only hold like 10 of them or something, and then they just took up inventory space. So great. A dedicated gems tab will come in season 2. So again, we got to wait 3 months for gems to not take up inventory space. Skill respec costs will be reduced by 40% to encourage build switching. Cool, not a problem. And there will be adjustments to make leveling 50 to 100 feel less like a job. There are plans to add more variety to endgame content. So it's like these very open-ended, like, oh, no, just stick with it. We'll do this stuff. It's like, okay.
Like, it seems like what they've focused on is, like, the opposite.
Yeah, well, right? The thing I don't understand is you just buffed the XP in Nightmare Dungeons. You just buffed the XP on Tree of Whispers. And then you put the season out and you, like, not only undo that, but then, like, go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
So how can you be surprised about that?
Yeah, that's really weird.
There will be more opportunities to obtain Uber Uniques in the future. Cool. The drop rate will be made a little bit more common over time. Again, very broad. Build loadouts are being discussed, but are not currently on the roadmap. So that means, like, if you want a specific build to, like, do a specific dungeon, you can save that. Worth noting, that was in Diablo 3. So you could literally have different builds for what you want to do.
And just quick load them?
You would literally go into, like, it's like an armor thing. It opens it up, and you, like, I want this one, and you're good.
Got it. Okay.
There will be a way to find particularly unique items and or particular legendary aspects in Season 2. So again, they're already kicking the can down the road 3 months. So, like, they hear this and they're just like, I guess take the loss.
Season one's doomed. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, man, okay.
Like, are people going to come back to season two?
I mean, sure, I would. And I think part of it is, like, I got my guy up to, like, level 91. So I was playing, like, just grinding away for a while. So am I ready to start all the way back over on something that's just harder content with a new character? Probably not. So maybe season two is when I come in. But
right.
In the back of my mind, it's like, I paid for the Uber edition, which got me the battle pass and the 20 skips and all this other stuff. But then, so I'm like throwing money away, basically, not playing season one.
Yeah.
Which doesn't feel great, that's, you know, rough. So that kind of sucks.
That's really rough.
Damage reduction system. So armor and resistances will be reworked in season two. Again, season two. There will be more options to modify gear in the future. So beyond season two, legendary drop chance will be buffed for loot goblins. There may be different loot goblin types in the future, which they had in Diablo 3. And then there's a hotfix that will be rolling out this afternoon. It includes changes to NMDs.
What is NMD?
Nightmare Dungeons.
Nightmare Dungeons.
So what does that mean? Is that mob density? Is that lowering the difficulty? We don't know. So that's what they said. Yikes. A lot of... See ya. Okay. A lot of, we hear you. See ya next season, you know? This is like literally the day after they launched season one.
Right.
That's what they gave us.
It's crazy to me that, like, I don't know. Maybe there's something I don't... Well, obviously, there's a lot of things I don't know, but it seems to take them a really long time to fix things that, in my mind, should be very simple. Like, they're like, okay, season two, gem slot in your stash.
Yeah.
Is that, like, not, like, a one-day project? If that, a couple hours and we're, like, code? I don't know anything.
Yeah,
I don't know anything. But in my tiny brain... I could only imagine that can't be a huge task.
My whole thing is I don't understand why you kill the XP. Like, why if you don't play, right? Like, you haven't played since we got you through the campaign, right? And then you went on vacation. So if
I played after that because I got up to 50.
Okay, I mean, sure, fine. You got to 50. We did some stuff. I thought we got you there before you went away to Portugal.
No, remember we were having trouble? Because I was, like, underleveled.
Oh, okay. Sure. I mean, sure. But, like, what I'm saying is now you would come into my level 91 guy.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Sit at the start of the dungeon.
Yeah.
I should be getting you, like, 100 times XP, just blowing you through to get to where I was so we could play together.
Yep.
All that's just gone. Now enjoy your 1.5 XP boost or
no,
whatever.
That's just horrific. Like, what is... Like, you sit down at Blizzard discussing... Like, what is the purpose of that? What are we trying to accomplish?
You just raised it. And when I say just, I'm talking like within 2 weeks prior to this, maybe three, you just increased the XP for everything because it was too much of a chore to do Nightmare Dungeons. And then this one, you make it more of a chore and then say, oh, we're going to make it less of a chore. Like, what?
That's insane.
It's an 8. It's an 80. It's an 8 out of 10.
I still think it's a, what did I give it, 84?
Sure.
I had fun with it, man. I think the campaign was good. And so like, you got to think about it from, like, this is what I said last time, casual perspective. Came in, played the campaign, you know, leveled up afterwards, saw what the loop is.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I get this. Get why people do this. That's cool. I'll see you in season one. And now the plane's crashed. And it's like, okay, I'm probably not going to play season one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, can I drop my score now? I guess, since it's a constantly evolving game.
Season one, there's no set items, which I lost the cheeseburger on. I thought they were going to come out with set armors and stuff like that. None of that. There's no pets still, which is crazy to me. I think, really, it's they just... Season two is probably going to be the first...
Make
like,
a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look, it's like... I think Civ's a good... description of like a similar place, because I know you were complaining a lot about like Diablo 3 had this, like they should have at least started here's the baseline, right? Which I totally get that argument, but at the same time I think when you're developing a new game like that, there's a lot of different considerations to make.
Sure.
Where I just don't think in games like that you're gonna be able to have all of those quality of life things that the previous title had over the X amount of years that they had to update constantly.
I just don't understand the whole point of having this open world map that's this persistent map that you open up, you paint it, and it's like, okay, here's everything.
Yep.
I don't understand having that, but then funneling you into this, all you're going to do are just dungeons. That's right. It. That's the only thing you're going to do because nothing else matters. Just do your dungeons. And it's like... if you're going to do that anyway, that's the same thing as Rifts from Diablo 3, which is fine.
Make it random.
But make it random and just give us one town that has everything within like 2 feet. Why do I have to like run across an entire town just to get to my stash and then run all the way back to the...
immersion.
Sure. But like, I don't
MMO.
Know. Yeah, well, that, yeah, exactly. It's just like for... it's like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're like, oh, it's this open world. It's very immersive. You want to spend time here, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you just added a patch where you're just teleporting from dungeon to dungeon to dungeon, which thank goodness they did. But like, you're spending zero time in that world once you get to your level to start grinding. Like
pick a lane.
You'll go into the hell tide. Maybe.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't think it's worth it. Now that they made that harder and more random and everything, like it's just okay.
I think you make some fair points.
I don't know.
I am very eager to see how Blizzard's going to dig themselves out of this
one. Let me put it this way. Last night, I turned it on, made a Necromancer. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this Necromancer because I looked up the rank list and Necromancers. Like, it's literally like the first 5 or 6 are just Necro, Necro, Necro. It's like, okay, so that's the class to play.
That's the class.
Funnily enough, that's probably the next one they're going to nerf. But that's the class. I got to maybe level 6. Maybe 10. But then I was like, I could be fishing right now.
Oh,
like I literally shut that thing off.
Yeah.
Jumped on Dave the Diver.
Dave the fucking Diver.
I never looked back.
I love it. Dave the Diver's eating Blizzard's lunch.
Dave the Diver is more fun than Diablo right now.
Is it more fun than Final Fantasy?
For me right now, yeah.
Wow. Of course. But, yeah. Doesn't give you a headache.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a lot. That was intense.
Yeah.
I think you make good points. We'll see what Blizzard does. Blizzard might be like the worst company ever, according to Metacritic.
Ah, well, yeah.
Dude, a 3.2? I mean, come on. It's not a 3.2.
No, it's not.
That's insane.
Yeah.
People are giving it zeros. Like, all right, let's...
Yeah.
I just hate review bombs. I don't...
That's why I don't like the...
I guess it's like a forum protest, but I don't know. That's why you don't like user scores. That's fair.
Yeah.
Because we're emotional. We're an emotional lot.
We're very volatile, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all we wanted to cover, right?
Yeah.
That was a lot.
It's a lot.
It was a good, hefty amount.
A lot of games. We'll see what happens next week. Either we're going to be beating ourselves with Street Fighter or shooting ourselves with Remnant.
So violent.
Yeah.
It's the culture.
It's video games. Or you can play Dave the Diver.
I might just play. I just might become Dave the Diver.
I'll do Final Fantasy, do Dave the
one
Diver.
Trick.
Yeah.
And you'll never see me again.
Dude, we can compare our fish lists, our cards.
That's awesome.
Gotta catch them all, I think. I don't think that's the thing. It's like gotta fish them all or something. They do something like gotta reel them all in or something. I don't know.
I hope he's a little more clever than that.
Yeah. It's not. But it's funny. It's good. Like they, Michael, so you know Michael Bay?
Yeah.
Like so there's a guy in here, because you get like VIP people that like want a very specific dish. You have to go out and like find the fish horn and stuff.
Sure.
There's Michael Bang, who's an action film director.
Yeah.
It's funny.
What kind of fish is he like?
I don't know. He
probably
like,
likes the shark.
Yeah, it's like some, it's like I have to get like three different kinds.
What,
have
an asshole? Yeah. That sounds totally right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, that's all we got for today. If you made it this far, we appreciate it. I've decided I'm not going to assign Tyler anything. You thought I'd forget.
Fair enough.
Didn't forget.
All right.
Could have fucked you there.
Yeah.
That would have been...
Twice?
20 minutes an episode, 24 episodes. That would have been a little chunk.
Chunky.
That would have been a chunky monkey.
Well, next week.
I'm going to think about it. Thanks for joining us. Our stuff's located at couchcomedy.games. Check us out there, all the links. And we will see you same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us on the couch. Peace.